Actually, that is a good conversation that I would like to have.
Right now? Let's do it.
Welcome to another episode of If Lance Could Kill, I'm Knife City.
So
I'm
Crow.
This is Hot Sauce.
For some reason, I was about to say, and I'm Hot Sauce.
don't do that. Don't ruin my bit.
Some very serious topics at hand, right off the bat. At home, you can weigh in on this also if you go to Twitter. At If Lance Could Kill, with one L. Is Rock Band better than or worse than Guitar Hero?
Or is Guitar Hero better than or worse than Rock Band? Think about that for a little bit.
I'm chewing on it.
Perplexing.
I'm chewing on it. So, the benefits to Rock Band is you have the whole setup.
Well, the newer Guitar Heroes, they also have the new setup.
They do.
Yes.
Hey, wait, real quick, what about Rocksmith? I mean, come on.
Let's have Rocksmith in there, too. Has anyone played it?
No.
Then that's third place coming at you. Okay, kicking us off. Rock Band was the first one with the drums. And I got to say that when you think about a game, when you think about Guitar Hero, you think that's not like really playing guitar. Like, that's not the same. You're not going to be able to play Guitar Hero and then all of a sudden pick up a guitar and play. But I will say that playing drums is very similar to playing drums on Rock Band.
Right.
You know, being in very amateur drummer myself, I'm like, man, this is similar enough that I can get like full enjoyment out of it.
Do you consider yourself semi-pro now?
I'm semi-pro.
So much time on the drums there.
I suck.
I fucking played a shit ton of Rock Band. Oh my god.
I suck.
It was real. Do you consider yourself semi-pro?
I did. I mean, honestly, I got better for sure. Like just like the stick dexterity, like the, you know, actually having the wrist motion and all that shit.
The tappy tappy tappy.
Dude, when you play drums and you have like a dominant hand, and so that hand will do like excellent in drums right away. But the other hand, trying to copy the same swing motions for both hands. That is a fucking pain in the ass to learn, man. That takes like months and months. It's like playing guitar when you're a kid and not buzzing the strings. What's that?
Should it start when you were a kid and start being ambidextrous?
I know, right?
I taught myself to be ambidextrous. It's just a matter of
practice. Is awesome. If I wipe my ass with my left hand, I mean, I'd probably like get it on the shower curtain. I don't even know what to say. It would be a fucking disaster. Yeah.
But I'm definitely better with my right hand.
I'd stick
hand,
my like knuckles do. Up my ass. And yeah.
I can't even open like a car door with my left hand.
Yeah, right. Like, exactly. You can't even like
curl your fingers, put under, and pull.
I have to. My right hand has to come up like it's a jerky fucking douchebag like teaching some chick how to play pool. You know, come up behind the other hand and this is how you do it. Yeah, curl your fingers.
No, it's more like Ghost. And okay. The pottery, yeah, well, right?
The massaging. You've never done the Stranger before then?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
So it's just clunky and awkward? You know you can't finish?
I've done, like, the 15-second Stranger. I've never done, like,
you've never
the...
finished the left
from start to finish
hand?
Now.
No. It is difficult. When I do the Stranger, I have an appreciation for women now. You know what I mean? Like, the right hand, we've been working your whole life. You know, in fucking... From the crib right into the fucking the mines, you know what I mean? Like just straight to work, the coal mines.
So when I play a stranger, I usually get about $1,500 and I go to like, I don't know, like a Lowe's or a Kohl's or some kind of department store or whatever.
Yeah.
And I find a random stranger and I give them the money and I'm like, can you please jerk me off?
That's an expensive fucking hand job, bro.
But that's what I thought the stranger was at first.
I was going to Boulevard and get like $10.
I just didn't know what the stranger
you
was.
You never
dude.
Specified whether that stranger was a man or a woman. But you know what? Ask no questions, hear no lies. That's it's our like, motto here on If Lance Could Kill. And just, you know, if we're talking about...
It's like glory holing. You don't really care. Like, you don't know. That's the point. No, you're not putting your dick through a hole to be safe.
Dude, it could be a grizzly bear on the other side. It doesn't matter. Like, so what? Now, my motto is, gentleman never asks, lady never tells. In reference to myself being the lady.
Right, right.
So when people ask me,
and horses
some
never
things,
bark.
Right, horses never bark. That is, just like my grandpa said.
His
father before him, father before, yeah, no, for sure. That's lifelong saying.
I think
tombstones.
I think Edison said that.
Yeah. Yeah. He stole from Tesla. So, same thing. I'm stealing all the jokes.
Pew 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 pew.
Remember when he killed that elephant?
No.
Oh, okay, never mind.
So
Edison was a real. He's a sick son of a bitch. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, he was.
Trying, I think it was
an asshole.
The old story of he's trying to prove that. whatever Tesla. I think Tesla. I don't know which one is AC or DC. I think Tesla was DC.
Tesla was alternating current.
Oh, okay. Then he was trying to prove that alternating current was really dangerous, and so he got a circus elephant on some stage or whatever in front of a bunch of people and electrocuted the shit out of him until he died, and was like, "See, this is not the way. We need to have all of our houses have DC. That's the way we need to do it."
Like, I believe you guys are flipped.
That's fine then.
Just so you know.
I just watched that magician movie like two nights ago. You know, the one with fucking what's his name?
Really doesn't matter.
Anyways,
really doesn't matter. I do. Yeah.
Alternating curves that we use, and so Tesla was DC.
Doesn't matter.
That's what he started with. He was trying to get
absolutely doesn't matter
electricity through the air without wires. That's why he has that fucking Tesla globe
We do that now. That happens all the time.
Just whatever. Let's continue.
Electricity through the air?
All of it.
He was trying to eventually move electricity. That's why it didn't work as well. Couldn't go as far.
You want
to
get really nerdy?
Enough current.
I was talking today about how you can have AC and DC running through the same wire. And this guy I was working with, his head was like, kaboosh, and just totally blew up. And I'm like, don't tell anybody that because you sound like a crazy person like I do. It's true. We've done it. But I'm like, don't go there. Please don't do that.
So, if you're not familiar with this podcast, you may have very well guessed that we like to bullshit for the first however long part of the podcast, and then, if there's time, we get around to some magic, you know, if time permits. So,
Wait, one sentence answer, better Guitar Hero or Rock Band?
Guitar Hero.
Don't care?
I'll say Rock Band.
Well.
Only exception, asterisk, whatever, Guitar Hero 2.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then Rock Band's better than everything else.
So, it's up to you, listeners, to weigh in on the subject. But, let's get around to our intros. How has your guys' week been?
I'm going to take it.
Yeah, take it. I got a long intro. So
I'm going to grab the main here. And, all right, so, I have been out of work for a while. And last cast, I mentioned, hey, guys, I got a new job. Sweet. So, I get to talk about work because I haven't in 6 months. And all you fuckers listening to podcasts for free and not giving us anything, except for you, Tom Porter, thank you very much. Everyone else, you just have to sit back and listen to my ranting and raving about work. So, I think I mentioned what it was, right? The job last time? About the freeway and all that stuff like that? Did I get onto that?
Maybe, yes.
I'm just going to mention it again to just blow everyone's mind a little bit. So, we have this kind of densely populated area in San Diego that isn't downtown. It's like the second densest area or whatever. It's like North Park and all this other stuff over there. It's a couple miles like east of downtown. Anyways, on the freeway itself, there's going to be a bus station that's built. So, like, buses are going to be in the speed lane getting off an exit ramp that is on the left, pulling into the middle of the freeway, dropping off their fucking, you know, people, whatever, pedestrians, and they're going to go ahead and walk out of the bus and then take an elevator up to the bridge above or take stairs. And it's super weird that this even exists, but that's what I'm doing right now, is I'm doing, like, all the lighting and just the power to the facility, all electrical stuff. Not like, I'm not building elevators because I'm not an elevator guy, but I'm supplying power to them and doing the panels.
Elevator guys
stuff.
Do it up and down.
They do it up and down. And then electricians do it with the lights on. So what do you think about that? So we're doing that. But big news, if you're not following me on Twitter, is I got a fucking work truck, which is dope as shit. I got a pretty new, like in the last 3 years, something like that, Dodge Ram 1500 quad cab. And I haven't actually had a work truck ever that I've been able to bring home. The work trucks I've had before have been like, you show up to work and then you pick up the truck and then you go do your thing. But now I actually have like a fucking truck that I bring home with me every day. I don't pay for gas. I feel like a fucking VIP boss. I run the fucking planet right now because I have a truck. And anyways, that's fucking exciting. Work has been...
That is an amazing truck, by the way. It's baller.
I like it. I'm super excited about it.
I feel like you need to start like...
Doing better in work,
like selling sex slaves or something. Like that's how. Mm. That's how. Like
I thought you were gonna say, should be more a little more redneck now that he's got this Dodge Ram.
Oh yeah,
like
no,
high,
I have a
high
big,
class. It's
I
like
have
fancy.
Pieces of wheat that I keep in the truck, so I can have them outside of my, you know, in my fucking side of my lip.
When are you gonna put an American flag on the back?
Just hanging off, and then
the gun rack,
smokestacks that just like blow black smoke out the top of it.
Yeah,
and everything
exactly.
Out of the truck bed. We're doing that.
You're going to convert it to diesel, too, then?
No, it's not a diesel, but we're going to...
Well, you're going to convert it.
We're okay. Just going to throw it in the engine
and
see what
happens.
We're
going to burn coal in the back of the...
My apprentice, a steam engine truck.
My apprentice is going to literally just shovel in coal, like, all day. That's it. He's gonna be all
back
all,
in the '20s,
all sooty and black. You know what I mean? Hey, he's standing in the truck bed. I don't know.
He'll have to do it. You told him to do it. So
yeah, he's gonna do it. Shake this paint can until you don't hear the marble anymore.
There's some clients in the bottom of that bucket.
There's some clients in the bottom. Get the wire. Get the flex bender. Get the wire stretcher. Yeah. Get 2x4 stretcher.
Get the sawdust fucking lube for the wire.
Yeah. Get all that shit. You gotta get it all, guys. Oh, good times. So, yeah, so I got an apprentice that I'm going to pick up in the morning or whatever. We drive out. It's sick, dude. Like, the job is really big. It's, like, a few miles long, and it's two levels. So I have to, like, get onto the freeway, go ahead and, like, make a U-turn off of, like, the exit, you know, ramp, whatever, and go back and whatever to get up to the top of the bridge. And so, like...
Why don't you just take the elevator?
I know, right? Duh. But it's nice. It's like, hey, we need to do work up there. It's like, cool. You get, like, a nice, like, 10-minute break just driving in the AC...
Yeah.
Shooting the shit while you're going to your neck. The job is chill. I don't have my boss is not a journeyman electrician. He's like something
so
else.
You tell him what to do.
So like they hired me for to some things that I know. I feel special. Some things that I know, like they just don't. Like that's why they hired me. It wasn't hire me to like just necessarily do the work. It's also like, hey, figure this out because like we don't normally do this. So, like, if you have questions, too fucking bad, because you're the guy that we're trying to get answers from.
Yeah.
So,
people are supposed to ask you questions.
Right.
You're not supposed to ask
questions. So, it feels cool, though, like, to, like, do this kind of stuff.
Somebody asks you a question, you're like, hold on, I need to go hop in the truck and head up to the top. And then you're like, Siri, what is...
And I'm calling up, like, the lighting manufacturers and stuff like that. I'm calling up, like... All my old foremen, my friends, like, dude, I'm doing this thing, and... I can't look like I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I can't ask anybody how to do it.
So. Hey, ask you a question. Hold on. I need a shit break.
Yeah. So today at work, I drove back to the shop, whatever, to we got a second truck, like one of those boom trucks that you see, like, working on street lights and, you know, power and all that shit. Have the little bucket on the top that lifts up. Anyways, we borrowed one of those. We brought it back. And then when we got back, I saw my foreman. And he looked, like, mad or sad or just, like, his face was – it wasn't good. His face wasn't good. I didn't like it. And – I'm like, hey, what's up, dude? Like, you had, like, a meeting or something like that, and something went wrong, or what's going on? He's like, oh, we had a fucking incident on the job. I'm like, oh, really? I didn't... Job's too big, so I don't see a lot of shit.
Was it you, Circuit 1? Was it you?
It was me. No, one of our operators, like, our backhoe operators, like, dig the trenches and shit for us and do whatever else. He was, like, trying to... The job's kind of narrow because it's in the middle of the freeway, so, like, depending on where material's at and whatever else, you have to kind of, like, squeeze in places.
Right.
And he ran over... one of those like generators that like you have to like pick up with have the wheels on and shit like that. You know, they're like too heavy just
Honda,
to pick up.
Honda
one of the Honda 5000s is what they are.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran one over and the fucking thing like exploded and all this shit. And it wasn't ours. It was like another trade's. And
nah.
So now it's like a big deal, I guess. Like they're free. Everyone's freaking out about it.
They're not even that expensive. Like they are, but not for a fucking big company. Like,
yeah, I don't know like, what to say.
What's
it's a big deal though. And the guy's been like working for a company for like 20 years and like he wants to quit now. Before like it blows up in his face and all this shit, like he's really like bummed out about it. And they're like they're being like really hard on him about it. Even though the guy's like, I don't know him personally, but I guess he's like really excellent in his job and people really trust him. And he gets worked on fast and all this shit. So I hope people stand
like
up for him. But
one mistake,
yeah, it's
like he's
one
ruined
mistake.
Not even that big of a mistake. It's not
no,
like you destroy power lines.
That
and, like,
generator's
you
probably like
all this kind of shit. Like yeah,
$2,000 at the most.
It's not like he touched his cousin that one time when I was 15.
Yeah, right. How old was your hypothetical cousin? We don't want to know.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Anyway, so that was going on. I was like, ah, that's a fucking bummer. 15, huh? No. Yeah, so that was one thing I heard today before I left, and I was like, ah, that fucking sucks. And then he sent us a text message saying, like, we're going to have a big meeting tomorrow about this shit, blah, blah, blah. Anyways.
He's going to be, like, hanging from the freeway.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get to the job site in the morning.
Big cardboard sign on his chest and all this shit like that. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
It wasn't there when I looked in the rear view.
Yeah. People think he did it because Chris Cornell died. Like, oh
yeah,
my God, was, he loved
yeah.
it so
as a,
much.
As a tribute.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really into generators. I don't know.
First Kurt Cobain, now this guy.
Besides fun Circuit 1 nonsense, a couple other things. So, I don't know if you guys know. I feel like, I don't know if you guys check Facebook because I think I only posted it there. But so, I was with my lady and it's like 9 o'clock at night, like before bedtime. And I go upstairs and I lay down in my clothes, like fully clothed or whatever. And she's like, hey, make sure you take the dogs out before you go to bed. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going downstairs. Don't worry about it. Like, I'm usually go to bed at like 11 or something. I fall asleep like 3 minutes later, clothes on in the bed. And she, you know, I'm guessing she like looks over at me and is like, what the fuck? I just told you, like, take the dogs out before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And then you fall asleep before I do, like, fucking this horseradish. You know?
Exactly.
Malarkey.
So, yeah, malarkey. And so, anyways, time travel. Next morning, I'm in the shower, washing my my delicious body. And I look down, and my toenails are painted. My fucking lady painted my toenails as revenge for me not taking the dogs out. And I looked sexy as hell.
That but is,
I like respect her for that. I was like laughing so hard in the shower. I'm like, I'm glad I'm with a woman that like is just down to play games like that. You know,
that's like way better than like yelling at you, like waking you up, yelling, going, "I told you to take the dogs out. All you care about is your
wah, 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 right
alternating currents and your fucking
Sarkin won this. Yeah. So I left it on for like 3 days. And she was now she was annoyed. She's like, "You need to take that off." I'm like, "It's funny to me still." Like, I don't mind gonna.
He turned it around to piss her off.
I'm like, I think it's hilarious. I had 1 foot that was painted. I'm like, I think it's fucking hilarious to have 1 foot painted pink, you know, sparkle whatever.
So that
so I went out and like actually picked up like Felipe's pizza. So I'm like waiting there
in sandals,
and like a biker gang shows up, and I'm in flip flops with my fucking painted toenails, and I'm just like, man, they're gonna call me a queer. I can already tell. Like, these guys are. They're not down with this kind of thing, but I'm laughing inside my head, like, waiting for them to say something, you know? And I knew people, like, saw, but nobody said anything. But people definitely saw my feet. My ugly toes painted pink. So I thought that was... cheers to my lady. That was really funny. I enjoyed that one.
I love that she got mad that you wouldn't take it off. That's my favorite part of the story.
She's like, "It's just weird now. Like, I think you like it or something." I'm like, "Maybe I do." Yeah.
Maybe
I'm with you because I just want the image of it, you know? But I actually have sex with Life City and Zone Girl all the time.
You make a great beard.
You don't know. Okay.
Bear Soup.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Bear Soup.
I went and saw it.
Yes! That was Bear a great soup. Picture. Bear Soup was amazing.
That was a great picture.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. I forgot about that. Bear Soup was great.
No, no, but wait. Yum.
Yeah.
Yum.
Bear Soup.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yum. Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You guys see it?
Not yet. I really want
not
to.
Yet.
All right, we want to talk about it.
Good things.
Is it better than 1? No. Is it good? Yeah. Yes. The reviews are all the same. It's just like, hey, this is what you like, right? But it's just not as special as the first one. The end. That's pretty much it. Last thing for the week. I was on the computer, like always, and I see this image of like a video game ad or whatever, and I look at it, and I'm like, haha, it's funny, it looks like some Photoshop shit. I'm like, ah, it looks, that'd be a funny idea, okay, bye. And then an hour later, my friend texts me, he's like, "Hey, did you see the new expansion for Forza?" And I'm like, "No, don't tell me that's like real. Like, don't, that's, I thought that was funny joke, haha." So, Forza Horizon, like the racing game, like Gran Turismo style, whatever, the Horizon series is like the more arcade fun, whatever. So, it has like real physics. So it's not just like you take turns at 160 miles an hour and you don't crash and you jump off everything and it just flips and all this
can,
shit.
Can I take a guess? Like, I haven't seen this at all.
Okay.
I'm going to really hope that it's like Fast and Furious 2 or 3 where it's like Forza drifting.
Yes.
Is it really?
No.
Damn it.
It's better. It's better. It's so ridiculous. It's Forza Hot Wheels where they like bring the cars that have like...
Make this game that's mostly realistic,
like entirely unrealistic. I know, but they still like still keep the physics for the most part, for like 99% of it.
So
like
away from our fan base entirely.
I know, but it's so good. So they have like they bring in the Hot Wheels cars, like the made up cars, where they have like two engines and they have like the two twin blowers sticking out of the same hood, like the motors are like side by side, and they have like all these wacky like. It looks like Demolition Derby cars and all this really wacky shit you see when you were a kid in a little, you know, Matchbox car or whatever. And they have all that. They bring like 8 new cars or 15 new cars or whatever number. And then the world itself, like it's a couple islands or whatever. Picture it like on Hawaii or something like that. But they literally have big orange plastic tracks that connect everything together. And they have the loops and the fucking barrels, you know, the spirals and all this shit. And they have like the little arrows that you hit and you speed you up and all that shit. It is absolutely it's a blasty blast. So fun to play. I just blew my mind that, like you said, it's like you're taking this pretty serious game and then just being absolutely ridiculous with it. And it's super fun. It's going to wear out. I'm sure like the shine's going to wear off pretty soon, but playing it right now, I'm having a fucking ball. If you've ever played GTA Online, they have similar things. It's probably where they got the idea. GTA Online, you can like customize however you want and like build the world however you want, like add stuff to the world. Yeah, modify it. And they build racetracks that are in like the sky. So like, and they have it where you can actually like.
So I've seen plenty of those videos. Is that, I didn't realize that was actually GTA. I was wondering what game that is.
That is Grand
Theft
Auto
Online. The ones where you like, you're literally, you go off like this twist, like twirl, twist, jump, and then you go flying, and then they have a lineup where you just barely tip your edge here, so your car starts doing a barrel roll, and you hit the other
track
and keep going.
One of those games, no, no, because
that is. No, you're talking about the ones like super fast paced, and it's all like this crazy.
This is not fast paced. This is just like.
Okay, so it's not the, okay, what game is that? Because I keep seeing videos.
That game, okay.
Videos are like.
Okay, that's funny.
They're like hypnotizing to see the videos.
I will give you.
I would never play it, but it's crazy to watch those like 5 minute videos.
It's a pretty popular game. I will give you the name of the game later this cast, but I've seen what you're talking about, and so people make maps that the coolest part of the game that he's talking about, which I can't think of the name, is that there are levels that people create that all you do is when the late race starts, you just hit the accelerator, all right? That's all you do. You do not turn the wheel. If you turn the wheel, you will lose the race.
Yeah.
And so what it does is it brings you to all these loops and all this crazy stuff, and everything is perfectly lined up for you to go straight. So like when you will hit a little curb, and it'll put you into a wicked spin, like a crazy spin that you could no way recover from, and the map is laid out perfectly where the wall you hit is at a 45 degree angle, perfectly catches you. Even you may drift and slide, but when the drift stops, because it's all the cars are the same and everything, all the physics are the same, they could go ahead and make the track be perfectly straight when you straighten out, and they drive to the next weird thing. We'll show you a video later, but
it's like all in the
really
air. It's
cool.
Not like on real streets. It's like made up, like, you know, non-physical real walls.
It
like,
is a trip though.
It's
like somebody
to watch. It's hypnotic.
Tons of time. It's like hypnotic. You're right. So that's a fun game that, like I said, it's not like a skill based because all you do is hit the accelerator pedal, but you get to see this guy's creative mind putting this racetrack track together to be like a Rube Goldberg machine, but for a racetrack. It's fucking crazy. And all you do is hit the accelerator. So that's pretty much all I wanted to say this week, though.
It would be a lot funnier if it was like with the Hot Wheels, like it was the real world, but it was the actual like Hot Wheels cars. Like they were like real size. You know what I mean? Like they're like an inch long.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like on a real road. So you're just like, this is intense, and you're
3 hours
like,
ago. I was say, you think the map is like 30 miles long, and it's like it takes you 24 hours to get across it. Screw it.
And like you hit a pebble, and then you're like, fuck.
Yeah. Squirrel comes up, picks your fucking car up, runs off. Damn it. Yeah.
God zero.
And you always have to go backwards before you go forwards.
Exactly.
You wind up the gears or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, moving on.
My week's been pretty. Quick, so I'll go next. You know what? I'm just gonna take it away right now and do the headline up front.
Self promotion.
I'm gonna do a Backstreet Boys concert. Let it soak in. Let the jealousy bubble up.
It was cheap, right?
It was. So my girlfriend.
This is why we couldn't cast last week, by the way.
So my girlfriend. Saw that the Backstreet Boys were coming, and she bought two tickets, one for her, one for a friend, but she didn't know what friend was going to go. It's just the tickets were, you know, on sale. She wanted to get them right next to one another. So her one friend said, yeah, I'll go. Perfect. Then her friend backed out.
Perfect.
With only a short amount of time for the concert.
Perfect.
And she was trying to find somebody else to go, but somebody else who was willing to pay the exorbitant fee.
A fee I've never paid for a concert before.
Yeah.
And I've paid some fees before.
Yeah. And nobody was willing to pay, and she wasn't willing to quote unquote, waste the money on someone else. So as a loving fiancé, she wasted the money on me.
Are you going to tell us the price?
And let's just say it's sad.
Drew 100 and
over under 200.
Bevendy.
It was
$5.
More than a foil Force of Will. I don't know. It was like 200 something bucks per ticket.
God.
Yeah, it was bad.
But it was so good though.
But as the manly fiance,
think of how many magic cards you could buy that wasted money.
It was it's her fucking money. She can do whatever she wants, you know.
She could have bought you magic cards.
So
giving it to him basically lit it on fire is really what.
She lit it on fire going to Backstreet Boys. Let's be honest.
Yeah, you do what you want. People do what they want. It's fine.
So I mean, you know, I was obligated as the fiance to go.
Stop saying fiance.
When he's going to a Backstreet Boys concert, he has to go.
No,
as a fiance.
I have to emphasize that if I was just like going out with this chick, I'd be like, no, You go find somebody else. I don't know what's going to happen in 6 months. If you keep bothering me about it, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know? So I have to.
Good answer.
You should have never admitted you like Backstreet Boys. I mean, we're over.
So, anyways, we go to the show and we get there and we got like the VIP parking or whatever, super close. We go in. I have to pee really bad. I go into the bathroom. Right away, my zipper breaks.
Now your dick's out for a Backstreet Boys concert.
My goddamn zipper. Like one. You know how it breaks? Like one side is off the track.
Yeah.
And so
both sides came off the track.
His dick was
zipper,
that hard. He was
zipper
so excited.
Was like in his hand. Like, how did this happen?
So I'm sitting there with like a moment of panic. Like reality's just rushing in. Like, oh my god, what the fuck do I do? Like, luckily I had my jacket with me, so I could like kind of like
pack to cover it up.
Hold it in front of my arm.
It's like
a,
you're in high school and you're hiding a boner.
Yeah, like I'm a fucking butler and I got the towel over my arm. You know, I'm hiding it like that. And so I'm trying to fix it, and of course I can't fucking fix it. So I go out, and I'm like, I broke my goddamn zipper. I don't know what to do. Like, this is bad. This is real bad. And I remember I had this problem one time before, and I was able to, like, figure it out. So went back to the bathroom, did a quick Google search, and basically you just got to go as far down as you can on the zipper and then just kind of make a cut, and so you can hook the zipper back in the line.
Onto the teeth.
That's the first step. Second step is you have to go to a tailor.
Yeah. Or you could, after you do that, you can just sew it. But so I was like, I can't just tear this with my hands. Like, I'm not like Superman. This is like very double, triple stitch shit. I don't fucking, like, I was panicking. I was like, my hands all sweaty. I'm just like trying to tear it. It won't fucking tear.
Are you like, half naked in the bathroom stall now, like holding the pants up in the air to fix this thing? So you're like,
no,
you're just
no,
your
no,
underwear in the stall?
They're like still on my pants, because at that time I still had a little bit of dignity left.
Hey, but wait, there's more?
Oh, there's more.
Good.
And so, so basically Google said, you know, you got to cut in. And I'm like, I don't have my knife. Like, I was smart enough to know that you can't bring knives in, so, well, fuck. So I go out and I talk to the security guard and I'm like, hey, I know there's a big sign that says no re-entry, but my zipper just broke. Super embarrassing. I just need to go out to my car and fix it. And she's like, oh, well, like, you know, I'm just a peon. You got to go ask her. So I go ask this other lady, and she's like, oh, no, you got to go ask the head. So like three ladies deep, I have to tell this fucking story to. Hey, I just went in the bathroom, and I fucking broke my zipper, and now my dick's out in front of all these like 12-year-old girls, and I really need to fix this situation. It's not great. And
did anyone judge you for being there in the first place?
No. Not to my face. And then so the last lady, she just didn't give a fuck. She's like, yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry, but, you know, whatever. And like she just like went back to taking tickets. I was like, what a fucking cunt face. And so I was like, well, thanks anyways, cunt face. And I started walking away. And so I went back to the bathroom, and I'm like, well, I'm not leaving this bathroom until I figure this out. And so I had
she would just like call her a cunt face to her face and got yourself kicked out of the place.
Yeah. And so I had my punk jacket on, and I had pins on my jacket.
There you go.
So I used the pins to like poke holes and holes and holes and holes.
Typical punk.
Yeah, until it like fucking broke the fabric, and I was able to hook it back in, and everything was fine.
Oh, so you went like, I thought you were going to use the actual pins to just keep it closed.
No, I tried.
You literally went like poke hole.
Yeah, I tried to use the pins just to like keep it together, but it was just like
your ball just too big.
It was just awkward and it wouldn't like hold right, you know. So, anyways, I just kept going at it till I broke the thing, and I was able to zip up, and so that was just like
a success story. Very nice.
It was traumatizing.
Did you make the concert?
Oh yeah. So this was like one of the radio stations out here, Channel 933. It was like their summer kickoff, fucking blah extravaganza. And so not only was it Backstreet Boys, it was just like a slew of other bands I don't give a shit about.
Don't even have to name them.
Whatever. I was like,
on the radio.
I had to Wikipedia all of them. I didn't know any of them. I felt even older than I should have, but the only solace in all of this is that we actually had really good seats. There's like the ground floor, you know, where like usually where the pit would be, but you know, there's no pit, it's just chairs. And then that next section up, we were in the second row center, and a row behind us was the sound guy. So you know you're in a good spot if you're like right in front of the sound guy. That's like gold. That's a sweet spot for all the sound coming in. You can clearly see the stage. So there's a bands like DNCE and some Jonas Brother. One Direction person. I don't know. So anyways, it was cool to. Obviously, I don't give a fuck about the music, but it was cool to almost, you know how you kind of take yourself out of watching a movie and you start to appreciate the cinematography and the lighting and maybe the script? And so I was able to do that for the concert, take myself out of it and go like, man, look at those roadies, like, you know, the stage hands and, you know, they got all this set up and tear down in between things. And so I was able to like kind of like appreciate the production value of it all.
Yeah, I'm sure it's like a really expensive concert as far as, not besides price of tickets, I mean, like, they probably put a lot into it to make it right.
Yeah. And there was this chick named Halsey who performed. She had a shaved head, kind of Sinead O'Connor thing going on, but she was like very hot shaved head. Like, surprisingly, you're like, wow, you are very attractive for having a shaved head. And she was, I guess like the new trend these days is like for girls to wear like big, fat, oversized like sweaters that kind of like go mid thigh, so it's kind of like a dress skirt thing, but it's obviously just like a sweater, long sleeve shirt. Anyways, she kept bending down and like just putting the hand right over where the crotch would be, so like you wouldn't see anything. And there was one time where she moved it away, and I don't think she was wearing panties. I saw no, everything was flesh colored down there. I didn't smell anything, but there was flesh. So anyways, I think she was rocking the no panties.
Pretty sexy.
I wasn't wearing any panties, so as a result, when the Backstreet Boys came on, my socks got soaked because of all the vaginal fluid secreting from me
and all around you.
Yeah, and all around me.
It was like a pool. Yeah, it was just like.
But there was a bunch of like young girls. Like 12-year-old girls, and then there was like a bunch of 30-year-old women. So it was like very diverse group. So it's like,
makes sense.
All the women were there for the Backstreet Boys. All the girls were there for whoever the fuck. I don't know their names. You know,
right?
So it's just very diverse, and I feel like an old man because there was like girls there, and I was like, you need to put some pants on. Like you need to. Who let you out of the house like that? There was like
generations definitely different for what a normal 12-year-old would wear to compare to what a 12-year-old from nowadays wears. It's not right.
Well, I couldn't even really guess like what age they were. Like, could have been like 16. I don't fucking know. But anyways,
same
like,
difference though. Ever, like it's something about being that age and your parents letting you go out with fucking a short skirt of nothingness. Like you can be older, whatever, or not. It's still not right.
Yeah. Ever since my niece was born, I feel like I've kind of grown up in that regard to where I'm like, you need to put some clothes on. Who let you out of the house like that? There was like ass crease fucking hanging out right in front of us, and it's like,
how many times did you come though?
What? I mean, a bunch. And my zipper broke again. But like, even my fiance was like, what is that? Look at that fucking ass crease. Fucking get your little fucking white baby ass. Fucking put some pants on that thing. So, anyways. It was a fun experience, and now if she ever doubts my commitment, I can clearly cite the date and the time.
You keep your ticket
and your ticket stub.
Keep your ticket stub. Keep it in your wallet and just say, and the next time she wants to give you shit about something you forgot to do, hey, look at this. I did this for you. Yeah. Leave me alone.
I went to a Backstreet Boys, and the biggest thing, I didn't complain the entire time.
It's good for you.
I made a point that to must like have been not tough. Complain about anything. I was
let
like,
her enjoy it.
Yeah, man, these guys are good. Yeah, their vocals were like on point. Like, you know, just trying to let her enjoy it. So it was an exercise in just.
She like it?
Yeah, she loved it. You know, she's a woman and they're Backstreet Boys, so whatever.
Yeah, do the math.
So, anything else? Playing Titanfall 2 a lot.
Small amount of peas.
There's a.
Steak.
There's a reverse compatibility sale for Xbox 360 games on the Xbox market for Xbox One. So I went and purchased Trials HD for like $250 or something. I'm like, sold.
Trials HD, that's the game.
Here's a question to bringing up the sale for backwards compatibility games.
Yeah.
I don't understand why on Xbox One, when they, even sale or not, whenever they have like games you can buy for 360, it won't show you the price. You literally have to hit the button to say show me the price, and then like takes you to a whole other fucking deal. Blah, blah, blah. Like, why don't you? It's annoying because then sometimes it takes long to load it up. Or it's like, just I want to know how much it costs so I can see if I'm even interested in pretending to look at this and possibly buy it. Like, why not show the price? I
don't clickbait.
Yeah, pretty much. Usually it shows the price right away as soon as you click on the game. It shows this is the price. Do you want to buy? Do you want to install, pre-order, fucking whatever? But for some reason, the 360 games, when you're on the Xbox One, it makes you like go into your account, and I don't know about you, but I have it set up where I have to enter a passcode every time I go to purchase a game.
Yeah, it makes me confirm it at least. Like, I don't know if I have a passcode on that because, I don't know, I don't think I've set that up. But so I just have to confirm the purchase. I can't just hit the button and it buys it. Like, I have to confirm the purchase.
Well, I have to, like, hit the fucking X up left fucking...
Put the old school code in.
Controller.
Tell me put the old school code
no,
in.
No, I did. But anyways...
Should have.
I should have. So, yeah, it's
a pain in the ass. I just don't know why. Like, do you guys have any answer to that? I mean...
No, and I
would... Xbox One games, like you said, they all show the prices, but when you, it's a 360 game, you have to, like, click on it and go to their load screen just to find out the price for it.
I went to go try and, like, buy another game, and it just sat there loading, saying it was fetching the price.
Yeah.
And
I had that problem all the time looking at those.
Yeah, 10 minutes, and I was like, okay, looks like I'm not buying this game.
I think I hear Reich chiming in right now, telling everyone to buy PCs, I think. Is that you, Reich?
So that's pretty much it for my week. What about you, Crow?
I got a decent amount of shit here.
He has a paragraph.
I got a couple paragraphs. Yeah. We didn't cast last week, so this is 2 weeks of like things I was doing and renting movies and games from Redbox and other video content I was looking at. So a few things here I want to talk to you guys about, in particular order. Did you guys see the Assassin's Creed movie?
I did not and will not.
But yeah, okay. I had no interest in either, but I had a free rental from Redbox, and my rentals you get kind of thing, get a Redbox pass, whatever. I was like, you know what? Nothing else really on here I want to watch. I'll check it out. And I've only ever played... I played the first one and, like, the third one. I never beat the first one. I only played the third one for, I don't know, an hour and a half from somebody else's house or some shit like that. And, like, I remember, like, the first one, I was very impressed with... how beautiful it was. At the time, that was with fucking 360, and that was, like, the most beautiful game I'd ever seen at that point. Like, to go... Like, my favorite thing to do was just go up from the tall-ass building to get the bird's-eye view and look out, and it was incredible to me at that time to be able to look at this huge, like, you know, landscape of this just awesome graphics at that point.
Right.
And I was just like, wow, this is fucking cool. But the game wasn't impressive to me. Like, I didn't give a fuck. I hated, you know, waddling through a crowd of nuns to, you know, kill a dude. I don't like stealth games like that. It took forever. It's not fun to me. Never beat the game. And, like, well, I remember while playing it, it was the whole story of, you know, you being in the future and, like, it's your bloodline, all that kind of shit. Like, it was, like, interesting but confusing. And I never knew, I never got it. I didn't finish the game, obviously, so never had a ending to that. Watching this movie, I was thoroughly surprised that it actually wasn't a huge pile of shit. I don't regret watching it at all. It was actually enjoyable to watch. And that by no means was some, like, oh my god, this is the end-all be-all movie. But it was fun. And then they did a good job of also going through and explaining, you know, what and why.
The Animist, right? Isn't that what it's called or something like that? Whatever the whole machine that they go in and all that.
Yeah, yeah, I forget the future
stuff, whatever.
But it was just, it was interesting. And it added this touch of like, okay, well, this is actually, you know, it's a little over the top on what they're doing. Excuse me, but... It was a good job. It was interesting. The movie was fun. Like, the action scenes were good. Everything about it, like, I don't regret watching it at all. I would actually say for $1.50, check it out Redbox. It was worth the watch.
I can get around to it. I watch some movies like that. I know that are not going to blow my mind, but I'm just kind of interested, you know.
Yeah, it was fun. Fight scenes were good. Do you guys have Amazon Prime?
Yes, I do.
So I enjoy Ron Perlman. His type of attitude, remember from Hellboy to Sons of Anarchy, like, he just has that, like, I'm an asshole, badass mode to him that I enjoy in watching a show.
Like sometimes. Dennis Leary's dad.
There you go. Not really, but...
I agree with you, but I like the whole, like, badass actors thing, because you know that they wake up in the morning and they get fucking powder on their face and shit like that, in their trailer in front of, like, 40 lights and shit, and they have all these women around there, like, putting makeup on them.
And you know, but, like,
I do my best not think about that because I really enjoy the character.
This, I can tell there's no sugar in my coffee. You know, that's like their first half of their day, and then they got to go.
At some time in their career, they either had tights on or they were like singing soprano or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They were doing something that wasn't badass.
Yeah. when I think about, like, yeah, it's fine. You know, they play killers, and they're really tough, and they're outlaws, or they're in the mafia and all this stuff. And it always comes back to, it's like, this motherfucker literally just went to, like, art school and shit. This guy is not a badass. He's never been to a fucking farm. He shot fake guns. Like, you know, I don't know what his personal life is, but in my mind, I'm always like, this Liam Neeson, fuck you. You know,
I'm going to take your daughter too, bitch.
I personally don't understand why he's a badass. He doesn't seem like a badass to me. I'm like, I feel like
it's kind of a forced attitude, like, because he has this, like, a little bit lower gruff voice.
They miscast that character.
Yeah, I agree with that too. He doesn't strike the fear of God in you.
Yeah,
kind of it's, I don't know.
She's like, what's fucking Gramps over here gonna do? Are you gonna shove some Werther's down my throat?
I think Clint Eastwood,
original bitch, hard candy.
Clint Eastwood, I think, is like a good middle ground to that. He's believable.
Yeah,
He's believable. But once again, he gets his fucking ass powdered, so I don't care.
But even then, like, they did, like, manly ass shit. You know what I mean? Mm.
For
like,
sure. Yeah. That's one of those things also, like, you got to give it up a little bit to Tom Cruise because, not because of many reasons, but because of one that he just does all his own stunts and, like, you see some shit.
Yeah, I mean,
and I'm like, man, I don't want to do that.
Insane. The guy's fucking batshit. Like Mel Gibson. The guy's batshit, but he's produced some good content. Like, there's been some, like, I enjoy the Lethal Weapon movies. Like, I was growing up being a kid, I loved Lethal Weapon 3. Like, that was fun to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was just a good time. So, like, and Tom Cruise, there's several movies of his that I really enjoy. He may be batshit and whatever, but, like, who gives a fuck on his real life? Because I'm watching a movie.
Well, it's like, okay, they were batshit, like, later on, but, like, there's, like, at least 10 Tom Cruise movies that are, like, that I think are probably, like, amazing. You know what I mean?
I agree with you.
And same with
Gibson,
the Jew hater.
Did you ever see
who doesn't hate Jews?
Gibson?
Did you ever see Edge of Tomorrow?
I thought it was a great movie.
Live, Die, Repeat.
I love that movie.
Yes.
Man, that is a really good movie. That's a fucking good movie.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that was something that someone mentioned it to me, and I'm like, I'm going to give it a spin. Let's see what we got. And by the end of it, I'm like, I want to see that again. That was fucking awesome.
I had the same feeling. I'm like, I finished, I'm like, I want to watch it again. Like, I got what happened, but damn, that was fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a strong recommendation from this cast. Put a pin in that one.
Jack Reacher 2? Not so much.
That was bad.
Don't even really know what that is.
Watch that with my dad.
He's an action hero. That's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. First one wasn't too bad, but the second one was really fucking bad.
Isn't it made by Disney or something fucking like that? Isn't it made by, like, some?
I don't think so.
It's based off a book. I don't think it's made by Disney.
I thought it's made by... I'm going to look it up real quick. You guys...
I could be completely wrong, but I don't know.
I thought it was made by some company that you're like, oh, this can't be
You know what those movies are?
Jack Reacher, what's
like,
called?
They're like TNT movies.
TNT movies.
A little bit, yeah. More production value because it's an actual big screen movie, but yeah, essentially.
For those who aren't familiar, the TNT, is that like global? I don't fucking know. It's a channel.
Yeah, it's a real channel. It's like a TBS, a TNT. TNT is like a lesser TBS. Like, it's less.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like low quality made for TV fucking bullshit, you know? Straight to VHS.
Mostly reruns of shows.
You know, they were still making Betamaxes up until like the 2000s?
Now you're getting old.
I don't know why I know that.
Yeah, I don't know why you know that either, to be honest.
Just get that out of your head. That's not worth knowing.
I feel dumber knowing that now.
Enough, guys.
Why? It's like making Titanfall for the NES. Like, why would you do that?
It's like getting into 8-tracks instead of vinyl. Like, what the fuck's the point?
Yeah.
Vinyl's amazing. 8-track, who fuck cares?
You get the warmth from the 8-track.
You only get 8 tracks on it. That's why they call 8 tracks.
So go on. What else?
The reason I brought up Ron Perlman is because he helped produce and make a show, and he stars in a show called Hand of God. The show's based around... looked at the description for it, I'm like, okay, so it's basically he's a judge, and like he starts hearing what he believes to be the voice of God, and starts like doling out vigilante justice, essentially. I read this trailer and the description thing, like, okay, so it's going to be like a... episode per episode, like maybe, you know, a lot of shows like that do, where it has like a baseline story for the whole season, and like every episode though he's like going off his judgeship and like declaring somebody not guilty so he can go out and kill him or something. I didn't really know.
Yeah,
that's what I assumed going into it though, but it's not that. It's actually one full story all the way through, where essentially like he starts hearing like God or whatever because his son has tried to kill himself and is currently in a coma, all fucking fucked up, and because some dude raped his daughter-in-law, his son's wife, and made him watch the whole fucking thing. And afterwards, you know, trying to kill himself, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
So he starts hearing the voice of God and going through his shit and trying to figure out essentially who did this and why. And this turns into like this whole like conspiracy, not conspiracy theory full on, but like basically
he's kind of going somebody, a little loony with it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. They kind of put this baseline of like there's ways like how did he actually get there without, you know, God telling him. But at the same time, there's this other side of it of you're fucking batshit. Like, go see a therapist. Like, I mean, so it plays sides very well.
Of course.
And it's not like, oh, God is everything.
Yeah, yeah, it leaves
and it's
you,
not like you're, you God's fucking never there. It's like this in-between ground. And it's just, the show's actually pretty good. It's a pretty good story all the way through. It's like a 10-episode first season. I haven't watched second season yet, but I ended up binge-watching the first season because it was well-made. It was...
What's it called?
Hand of God.
Hand of God.
So, like, I mean, if you have Amazon Prime, I'd say check it out. It was definitely an interesting show, and they did a good job of not fucking, like, anteing up God or anteing up against God. Like, whatever. It was just about what this man is going through, trying to figure out why his son tried to kill himself, yeah, and try to make the people who led his son into that position come to justice, kind of thing. So it was a good show. Another thing I did this week is my wife and I had a little date night. And, I told her, like, you know, it's just a date night at home. Just this, we got sushi, went to the movie. Told her to pick a movie from Redbox. And we got a Hacksaw Ridge. You guys ever see Hacksaw Ridge?
Yep.
So, when this movie trailer came out for it, I was like, that's very interesting. Yeah, that looked pretty good. I didn't get a chance to see it in theaters. So, renting it, I was like, okay, cool, I want to see it too. And I thought the movie was just fucking phenomenal. I thought it was really well made. And then, honestly, it's one of the goriest fucking movies I've seen when it comes to war movies. Like that itself, that battle at Hacksaw Ridge was actually one of the bloodiest in that war. And they did an incredible job showing that gore and that bloodiness and the fucking intensity of the guys getting their head shot off and different things. It was like, when they first got up there and the shit started going down, I was like, it caught me off guard. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, I've seen plenty of war movies. Nothing this, like, graphically.
You know, that's a Disney movie, and now I know that for a fact. That's proof.
Yeah, that movie was pretty good. It wasn't like, it's definitely not like, it's not going to make any lists of mine.
Agreed.
But the premise was cool. It was based off a true story.
That's a big thing for me. I love movies like that, like Catch Me If You Can and things like that, that are well-made movies that are based off of true stories. I really enjoy those kind of movies.
Yeah. So, like, you know, after the movie, I think it was the same thing. Me and my chick had date night. We saw it in the theater. Or maybe I just downloaded it. I forget. But
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. And afterwards, I went and, like, you know, Wikipedia research, yeah, and, like, looked up the dude's history and everything. Because, once again, it's a lot more interesting if it was actually happened to, yeah, somebody. Obviously, they had to amp it up a little bit. And
in what way?
I don't remember exactly, but...
Because some of the things that were a little bit over the top, a little bit this and that, like, he actually... Because the guy died, actually, in 2006... This movie was made like a year or two ago, and there's actually old like documentary films of him talking about things, and like this girl spots the movie like, well, that's a little bit much, isn't it? And he actually talks about the fact that actually happened.
Yeah.
So like, I'm wondering what you thought was amped up, if you can remember.
Well, like, the off the top of my head, probably like was the number accurate on how many people
he saved, 75 different men,
and how he. Because he hoisted him down on, like, a rope.
Yeah.
And these people would get him. But, like, nobody went up to see what was going on. They're just like, oh, man, this mysterious rope just keeps dropping off people.
Well, they knew who was doing it. They didn't go up to help him, but they knew who was doing it.
Yeah.
They knew it was that guy, it was whatever the fuck his name is. And they knew what was going on. You know, but at that point, the whole platoon had retreated.
Right,
and the only reason that anybody saw him lowering anybody is the guy, the fucking head of the platoon made two like grunts get off their fucking jeep so he could take their jeep back to the encampment and them stay there to watch the ridge, and they're all freaked out and they're this and that, and so the only reason anybody was there is because those two had to stay behind because there was no space in the jeep for them, and they started seeing these bodies come down, and then
for those not familiar with the movie, he was a conscientious objector. He enlisted in the army, but he didn't want to touch a gun or carry a gun.
Like a Seventh-day Adventist, or is that what they call him?
Seventh-day Adventist, yep. And he wanted to just be a medic, and that's all he did. But, like, frontline medic. Like, he's charging in with everybody.
Yeah.
And he did some heroic shit.
Yep. He didn't actually save them. He George even Washington. Actually helped many of the Japanese and lowered several of them. However... on their way down, they were killed by the other patrolmen and squadrons down there. He was just trying to save anybody who were actually involved in it, trying to help people in general.
But none of those Japs actually survived. That are the ones he lowered down. They were killed by the guys.
Better not have.
Agreed.
Okay.
I don't care about anybody.
Yeah, it's good. So,
it was a really well made movie. If you have any interest in true story stuff or any interest in war movies, it was actually very good. It doesn't have that aspect of like overly religious stuff, which is probably why some people shied away from it. But it's not like it's throwing it too much in your face. It's just telling the story of what truly happened in this man's life.
Yeah, it wasn't shoving down your throat. It just had to express because he had strong beliefs, so it had to express that in the movie.
Yeah, and I thought it was really well done. Something else I did. I also rented Tom Clancy's Wildlands. You remember that game?
Yep.
So I feel like that game is kind of like Division, where we were all so excited seeing the original trailer for it. First, kind of, I remember I was excited, but I think we talked about it on an episode of one of our casts.
Yes.
And it looked, we're all like, "Damn, this looks fucking good," and this and that. Mm-hmm. But then none of us ever fucking played it, and we haven't heard much about the game.
Well, I mean, I played the Division for a while. No, but
Well, I'm getting on the Wildlands now.
Yeah,
and the Division, it's the shithole that it is. We all know what Division is. We wanted to love it, but it was bad and became just a horrible grind for no real payoff.
Just another fucking.
We all know what Division is. Yeah, it was bad.
Destiny.
Another Destiny.
0.5.
Yeah,
because it was not even 1.5. Yeah. That'd be better.
I agree with that. So, anyways, I tried out Wildlands, and the game itself, for all intents and purposes, it's Far Cry. Have you guys played Far Cry?
Yes.
So. That game isn't bad. I don't have any like horrible things to say about it.
Far Cry doesn't do it for me anymore either, because I really liked it back in the day. But man, I'm like, I've played all of them like a little bit, you know, where I've rented it or borrowed it or something, and I've put like 5 hours into each game.
Yeah,
and they come out with it. I'm like,
the game's fine.
You know,
like, it's not like glitchy and fucked up. The game is fine, but it doesn't really catch me. I'm not sure how many people out there it catches, but
it's not giving you the fizz, babe.
Yeah, so it's not a horribly made game, but this is the same makers. And it's Ubisoft, and it's the game's fine. The graphics are, you know, the fucking graphics are good. The gameplay is good. Things are lined up well. There's some cool things where you get to use a drone and use your crew to go set up a shot. You spot a guy at the drone, and one of your other snipers goes up to flanks him and shoots a guy. And there's some cool things to it, but basically it's Far Cry with a squadron behind you, like with three guys on your team. I mean, I played it for a few hours and then returned it. Like, it's fine, but again, it's just Far Cry.
What's the score? 6 out of 10? 5 out of 10?
I mean, gameplay and everything else about it is fine. And that's a higher thing to it, except for it's just not
engaging.
It's not engaging. It's not in depth. I mean, there's a little bit of quote-unquote RPG to it where you get to, like, upgrade weapons, this and that. But it's nothing that's actually real RPG-ish. It's just to add a little bit more to the game. So, I don't know, how would you rate Far Cry? It's Far Cry with a little bit different to it.
Yeah.
So,
I remember playing the expansions for Far Cry 1, and that's some of the worst games I've ever played. They had, like, the standalone, because it wasn't, like, downloadable DLC at that point, I don't think. I think it was, like, you had to buy, like, the disc that had the expansion on it or whatever. And I remember I borrowed it from a coworker who was, like, 50, super weird. Anyways, borrowed it from him, and I'm like, man, this is hot garbage, like, really bad games. I don't know what I can't think of the names, but man, they're fucking bad.
I guess to give it like somewhat credit, I'm not saying it's like Far Cry the first one. Like I'm comparing it basically to Far Cry 4. It is Far Cry 4 with a different skin.
Yeah, that's fair.
You're not killing off animals anymore, and this and that, or tribal leaders. You're going against a Colombian or a Bolivian drug cartel, but it's the same thing, different skin. Let's see. So big news from Netflix. You guys seen this yet? They teamed up with CD Projekt Red, which are the makers of the Witcher series, and they have announced that they are making a Witcher TV series.
That would be pretty sweet.
Animated or live action?
It's got to be live action.
I don't know, to be honest.
Better be live action.
There's not a lot of information to it yet. I'd prefer to be live action as well.
I would absolutely prefer to be live action.
But we'll see. They have announced also like the actual, they're working in conjunction with the actual main dude who writes the stories for The Witcher, which is one of the biggest things about Witcher, is their actual tales and the books that they've made for the
game.
Dude,
there's totally
going to
be
titties.
There's going to be titties taking baths. That's what they do. They get in the fucking the hot tubs or whatever they had back in whatever day.
The barrels. The hot barrels.
Yeah, all that shit. And then just titties bouncing all over the place. And a lot of butts. A lot of butts getting out of the water. Wet butts.
Soapy butts.
Yeah.
Also, the guy who is like the main storyteller and video maker with CD Projekt Red is going to be directing at least one episode a season. to go along with this Witcher thing.
Excellent.
So I think it's pretty Party exciting. Time. I'm very excited to watch it.
Witcher,
myself.
I need to get on it. I need to get on it for sure. I have only played a little bit of it. I was sucked in Mass Effect Andromeda. Now I'm playing the Forza. Now I need to fucking figure out.
What?
There's some other game I got. I think it's called Unravel. Want to say or something
like
that?
That's the one that's like it's free right now on Xbox One, right?
No. I don't know. I don't know what it is.
No,
it's not. Is that the one where you're like a little
red dude,
yarn boy? Whatever.
You gotta use your yarn to like jump across.
I bought that recently because like the graphics looked really good.
Yeah,
I just watched the trailer and I was like, oh fuck, that looks like kind of like Ori and the Blind Forest, where you see the graphics and that pulls you in already. You're like, oh god. So I bought that and it's pretty simple, but the graphics are pretty damn awesome for sure. They're very, very nice to look at. PC elitist.
Yeah.
PC.
I spent a night watching Twitch streamers. It was just one of those nights where I sat there, not really wanting to do much, and just kind of got caught in to some Twitch streams, which led me from one place to another, and I ended up sitting there for like 5 hours watching different streams, different games. Started with Tiger Rider, which I don't know if you guys have known who that is, Twitch streamer. He's pretty well known, got a pretty big following. Anyways, he got an early access code for The Surge.
Nope, no idea.
No idea that one?
No idea what
that
is.
That's the one that's... you've seen the little trailer for it. It's like you have like a robot, so you're like a dude, and it's like an apocalyptic world, and you get like a robot suit to go out, and you fucking go gain other fucking energy and other things to increase your robot suit.
Yeah, Fallout. Skills. I've played Fallout.
Okay. So you don't remember that one?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a weird name. It's not a name that makes you like remember what the game is, but if you saw the trailer for it again, I'm sure you recognize it.
Isn't that a really good drink that they don't make anymore?
Yeah. And it's also that movie.
Surge Cola.
Where, like, at one day a year, they
That's get the purge.
No, it's the surge, I know. And everyone, once midnight hits, everyone's like, surge!
And then they start chugging the drinks.
Yeah.
And then that makes them go crazy.
And then they go super crazy.
Yeah.
And jolt cold.
So much caffeine.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all it is. Let loose, dude.
Well, anyways, as far as how much you love graphics sauce, you love the fucking graphics and things. The game looks beautiful. It's definitely a grindy type of game.
I'm like a size queen, but for video games. You know what I mean? I'm like, I only play the best graphics. I get that little fucking shitty graphics out of here.
Is this not fucking overclocking my PC?
Yeah, exactly. If I'm not in a sauna in my office, then I'm not interested. Like this, the fans better be kicking on, and my fucking CPU better be at like 90 degrees Celsius. Like, don't mess around.
So. Tiger Redder, his favorite series of games is Dark Souls. He loves Dark Souls. He talks about it a bunch of times, this and that.
It's fucking mastication, right?
As he's playing this game, like, I'm watching it, and, like, he's a good content provider. He's funny. He's got a good setup going on. As I'm watching, I'm like, for me, I can tell this game's not for me. It's definitely a hack-and-slash kind of grind that has a little bit of RPG builders up to it. Like, it's like a Dark Souls type of game where you have to continue to level up in an area and continue to farm and whatnot to get your guy strong enough to go into the next area to fight the next boss kind of thing.
Right.
Which is fine in concept, but for me, it has to be done correctly in a certain way. And this isn't the type of game for me. But he, who loves Dark Souls, gave it high marks in comparison to Dark Souls. And a lot of people in the Twitch stream are calling it a mix of Dark Souls, Deus Ex, and Chappie. The movie Chappie.
So, Chappie?
It's just kind of like it's not for me, but it's very refined, kind of a grinding game. Upgradable armor and weapons, and you're able to like lock on to enemies. And when it's a new enemy, you haven't like seen a weapon before, you're able to like go and chop their arm off, basically, to take their weapon. So there's some cool things about it, and there's also it adds like you go into the tunnels, and like, if you don't turn the lights on first, like it's adds a level of like holy shit, this guy just popped out of nowhere trying to attack me kind of thing to it.
Nice.
From there. Because he sent the host to another content provider. Ended up watching some Player Unknown Battlegrounds, which I'm sure you guys looked at before too.
That is
that's like the 50 man free for all.
It was like 100 or something like that too. But yeah,
is it like where one man is at the end or something like
yeah.
that? Is that?
Yeah, it all comes King down of, to King you go in there thing. And like
it's
basically
fucking Hunger Games.
Yeah,
yeah, Battle Royale.
That's the real one right there. If you guys haven't seen Battle Royale, the Japanese original thing that Hunger Games basically stolen from, Battle Royale is fucking amazing.
Read the book.
I haven't read the book, but
really good.
Okay,
it's just confusing with all the Asian names.
Okay,
because I'm not familiar with the language, so I start to get people confused because their names are very similar. Yeah. Like,
we got it. Just
Steven,
leave it there.
Steven or whatever. Young Sing, Young You. I'm like, which one chopped his head off? I don't fucking know.
That one was awesome, though. That was very well made, and just I loved Battle Royale.
That was a
really
fucking
good.
Bloody, gory,
oh, man.
Fucking
super gore.
Of Hunger Games.
It was great watching these fucking anywhere from 10 to like 16 year old kids killing each other with anything from a shovel to a hacksaw to a fucking sword. It was great.
Pufferfish.
I was very interesting to watch that. And then a game that you used to play a lot of time, like, wanted to get into, was H1Z1, right?
No, I was more into the other
DayZ.
Oh, okay, so okay.
Whatever. I mean, this is all the same. Even this new game, it's all like the same kind of family of game. You know, it's the,
yeah. I mean,
they're different.
I guess
I was
thinking H1Z1 was you. That's why I was wondering. Like originally, H1Z1, like your DayZ was more like you drop into an area and you play like that.
I think Reich plays H1Z1. I think. He likes those kind of games, too.
Yeah.
So
H1Z1 now is King of the Kill, which is basically King of the Hill. Same kind of concept Battle Now.
I get it. Okay, yeah. All right.
So yeah. That one's just like a faster version of it, of Player Unknown Battlegrounds. But it was great to sit there and watch. It was just fun to watch it. I mean, I don't have PC, so I can't play it. Which kind of like leads me to the next point of like watching these streams. The reason I was caught into watching it so long is because one of the streamers put it great, where he said there's some games out there some people can play and not watch, and then there's some games that some people can watch and not play. So for me, like watching these couple games, they look fun as shit to me. Like I think I love to play it. I mean, either one, Battlegrounds, Player Unknown, or H1Z1, King of the Kill. And the games look fucking fun as shit. You know, you drop into this area, you have nothing. You have to quickly find gear, ammo, weapons, you know, energy bars, whatever to get you to survive. And you go kill everybody else off. And you can do everything from hide up to the side of the map and try to stay, you know, quiet about it. Or try to get fucking like 20 bomb kills and get all kinds of fucking shit going on.
Yeah. Or put on a clown mask and start mowing motherfuckers down. You're
trying to rape people. Like, there's no rape in the game. It's not GTA.
Yeah. It's not Enemy Within.
But I mean, I eventually want to get a PC, a gaming PC. I do not have one right now, but it kind of comes down to I'm glad I don't, because watching this game, it looks great to me, but I feel like I know I would suck at it at first, because you have to put a lot of time in these games to be good at them.
Yes, you do.
And you know, that's fine with me, though. I'm okay with the game that you have to put a lot of effort in to get good at, except for because of that, I know I'd want to be good at them, because the game looks like a lot of fun to me. And I'd want to be good at it, so I had to put a lot of time on it, which would take like time from everything else I want to do, including Magic, away from it to be good at the game. So it's a good thing I don't have a PC to play them.
And I've thought about getting that game too, or, you know, one of either one, you know, because they're both pretty much the same. But, like, the pros and the cons of the game are actually the same.
Yeah.
Because it's a single-minded, quick, like, you know, 10 to 20 minute match, and you just find things and kill people, and that's it, you know. And that's the pro and the con, because it's like, you know, sometimes I don't want to get deep into a story and, you know, a lot of dialogue and RPG choices. Sometimes I just want to fucking shoot motherfuckers, stab motherfucker with a knife.
Yeah.
And then at the same time, I could see myself getting very bored of it, and then just like regretting that I spent money on it.
Yeah.
Was there multiple maps?
No.
There's just the one big ass.
I mean, they're both
map.
In a basically a beta format still. There's plenty
beta
of glitches
for like 7 years.
Yeah. That's the H1Z1. The Player Unknown Battlegrounds is newer than that.
Right, of course.
But again, all kinds of glitches and problems, you know, like one of the H1Z1 games, because you can play like fives, we have a team of players that you're with against other teams. And one of them ended with like this group of guys who will play in like they call them skid matches, something along the lines of basically they figure out when these other Japanese teams are going to be on. They all figure out how to like boot the non-pros out, and so they're basically one whole fucking server is these pros playing on it, and they have these legit matches that are good playing on it. Watching this group of like Australian and New Zealand guys play together, and they were very good. It was a lot of fun to watch them play, and it came down to like the last, because the whole map continues to shrink and shrink and shrink until you put you in different areas, so there's like a fog that can kill you off if you stay in the fog.
Yeah.
So they're in this circle, and on the map it'll show you like a larger circle, and then it'll be a smaller circle where that's the safe zone. That's supposed to be the safe zone when the next time the fog comes in. So they're down to like the last fog moment, where it's going to be the last circle of the fucking map where they're going to be safe, and they're getting set up. They got over there. They have a car. They have some rocks. They got this little area where they're going to be set up, and they should be safe according to the map. And then all of a sudden the next fog rolls in, and all of a sudden the spot that's shown on the map is glitched out, and these guys are up on this hillside that should have been in the fog, so they wouldn't have had this advantage of being on this upper hill, you know, shooting down.
was no longer in the fog, and they had to get pushed forward out of their area because the fog glitched out and was in the wrong spot, and ended up losing the match because and coming in second place because of this glitch. So there's shit that's wrong with the game. They had a lot of things to fix.
A little frustrating, yeah.
And so he even went back and went to his stream that was, you know, he was recording it, and found the spot where he looked at his mat right before this whole battle started again. He's like, see? And then he goes to, like, fucking Windows Paint or whatever and starts drawing out the map like, this is where we were, this is the hillside. Bullshit! God damn it! Kind of thing. So it's like, you know.
I've seen, like, a very long list of GIFs of, like, fucking shit that's gone wrong in those games. You know, I don't know which one it is, but just, like, bugs and glitches and, like, you know, somebody steps, like, through a car and then they get stuck or, like, just funny shit.
Yeah. So, like, the reason I would like these games a lot is I'm intrigued by these survival type of games. I like the idea of having to fucking figure out which side we want to play, having to, like, become... want to kill people off and make sure you don't fucking put yourself out there and get yourself killed off.
Yeah.
Well, a game I mentioned briefly a few months ago, probably one of these casts, was a game called The Forest. And I think at the time, I didn't remember what the name of the game was called. And it's kind of like a real-world Minecraft, in a sense, where it's, like, similar, where you can, like, chop down trees and build yourself a fortress. And
but it's still a survival game.
It's a survival game. You have to make sure you are... warm, you have to build fires, you have to eat food.
Yeah, the game,
you
can
die of exhaustion.
The game starts off where, like, a plane crashes and now you're, like, left alone.
So your plane crash, you don't know what's going on, and your daughter has been taken from you by the island's inhabitants, which are cannibals. So, and they're like inbred mutagenic cannibals in a sense. Like, most of them look normal, but you can go in these underground caves and there are, like, fucked up mutations of ones, and they are cannibals and want to eat the fuck out of you. And sometimes they're, like, almost human, where sometimes they'll leave you alone during the day or something like that, and they just want to coexist in a sense. But then there's other groups of them that want to just eat the fuck out of your asshole. And so the game looks fucking...
It's a good
fucking,
place to start.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen it, I suggest checking it out. Like, either you hate it or you like it, I don't know. But the other thing that's cool about it is it's only four guys, like four Canadian dudes who are making it together. And they've progressed the game. I think they started making it a couple years ago now. But just four guys making this whole world themselves.
Kidding.
And producing the whole thing themselves. And
I watched a lot of The Forest when it came out. I watched a lot of streams of The Forest. A few hours for sure. Looks enjoyable, but all these things kind of fall in that category you're mentioning that I'm not interested in playing it, but I am interested in watching a lot of that stuff.
For me, like, above PlayerUnknown and H1Z1, like, this game, I thoroughly want to play it. Like, I it's only, like, $15 on Steam. And it's not like a game that needs, like, a super fucking...
No, it doesn't. Most of these things are, like, lowest common denominator graphics card stuff. They're not looking for anything crazy.
And so the other thing that's cool about it is it's not like they're not updating it. Like, they are constantly working on it. Like, they literally, like, I was watching it, on their main screen, it says, the next patch will be released in 1 day and 20 hours. Like, there's a countdown clock going on.
Right.
Like, they are continuing to work on the game. So I'm probably about to go spend $14 and buy the game to play this beta version of it. Because for me, this game looks fucking fantastic. Like, I love the idea of, you know... You have to go out there, completely full-on survive, build your own fucking fortress of shit, fend off from cannibals, feed yourself, all this kind of shit. Like, the game looks fucking fun as shit to me, The Forest. So, anybody out there looking for any kind of survival-type game, The Forest looks like a lot of fun. You're able to, like, craft and build better axes and better, like, bows and arrows and build tree forts so you don't, like, attack by fucking animals at night and shit. And it's cool. It looks very interesting to me. Again, long intro. I did a lot of shit. The Prey.
Prey?
Prey.
Did you play Prey?
I played Prey.
Yeah, how far?
Only a couple hours.
Okay.
Because I didn't...
Get on with it. I want to hear this shit. I mean, so, I'm going to get it, or I'm going to, like, rent it or something like that for sure.
Baseline to start before getting into it, I suggest you do.
What's that?
I suggest you get the game.
Oh, instead of renting it, you mean?
Well, rent it, whatever. I'm just saying
play. I'm going to play it. Yeah. That's a guarantee.
I'm just, like, prefacing this before getting into it. Because, again, I only played maybe 4 hours before I ended up returning the game just because money issues right now. But I liked it. And so, in case you guys don't know, it's from the makers. Probably the people who made the game are the people who made Bioshock 2.
And Dishonored.
So I don't give a fuck about Dishonored personally, but Bioshock 2, like, I like Bioshock 1 better, obviously, but Bioshock 2 was a great game itself.
That's an opinion that is the minority, but I agree with you. I think Bioshock 2 was a great game. Not just a good game and not just, like, you know, it's taking advantage of just, like, being the sequel to a really popular franchise.
Yeah.
And people are going to play it anyways because it's just the second iteration. Mm-hmm. No, it's like, I think it was really good.
Yeah,
of course it wasn't good as the first
one. Enjoyed the game. I wasn't a big fan of Bioshock Infinite. That edge of it being dark and scary with the splashes running around, like, it just wasn't there.
in Bioshock Infinite, so I was disappointed in that game. That was a big thing for me. But the first two were just fucking fantastic.
We've talked about it, but
yes,
have you played the DLC for Bioshock Infinite?
No, and that's the thing. Like, I bought the season pass of it. I need to go back and play the whole thing.
Bro.
I know you've told me that. I need to go do it. And that's so. Preface that with me saying on Bioshock Infinite that I haven't finished the game yet.
Dude, you're gonna love it. I mean, it's simple as that. If you like the Bioshock universe, like Bioshock Infinite, I get it. People don't like it. People love it. I don't know. Whatever. But the DLC is fucking awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah, I've heard that. Real quick, so back into Prey. My first fucking reaction to it is, fuck, it's scary. And maybe more or less to some people than others, but for me, I'm sitting there playing it, and off the bat, there are some things that I don't like in the sense that it is, for the makers of Bioshock 2, I'm prefacing it with that, but it is so much like Bioshock that I don't like it in that sense, where you start off, you don't know what the fuck's going on. There's this mysterious being telling you, trying to help you, supposedly. And so everything in that sense is exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you start the game. Like, yeah, obviously, different skin, different things going on, and it was blah, blah, blah. But
does it take place in the present, the future? Do you know? Like,
it's got, I mean, it's got futures. It's all, like, in outer space stuff and, like, okay. space station stuff okay. and this kind of like that. So, I mean, I don't remember if they actually say what year it is, but I know it's in the future okay. because of how it's based on. The reason it's creepy... Because, like, just like in Bioshock, where the splicers were, like, around the corner in the dark, you don't know where they are, but they're just kind of cackling out of nowhere. You're just like, oh, fuck, when are they going to attack me? What's going on? They're pop up behind me, what's up? Like, to me, that was a good part of that game. It was just, it wasn't like this gore horror fucking movie game, but it was just fun.
Suspenseful,
yeah. Yeah. So, this has that same feeling, but you can be sitting there, and, like, first off, the music and sound, like, you know, a lot of games and movies... They have, like, that little bit of music and then, like, the suspenseful, like, da-da, like, whatever fun of shit, and you know something bad about to happen. This thing, because of, like, the style of how these alien mimics are able to, like, phase shift into whatever object, you can go into a room and think you've cleared out, like, four of these little alien mimics. And, like, okay, you're like, okay, I think I'm good. But the music is still suspenseful the whole fucking time. So if you play that, like, loud in the dark, you're like, okay, I cleared this room. And then suddenly look up, and a fucking coffee cup just, like, tips off the table and falls on the ground. Like, oh, goddamn, there's another one of them. And, like, or they just pop up right behind you. And, like, it just adds this constant, like, I think I've cleared the area, and suddenly this pops up, or maybe it doesn't. But, like, it just keeps you on this edge the whole time, because the whole time it has that scary, high-pitched music like something's about to happen.
So it seems like the aliens can, like, turn into any object.
Yes, just like, and I didn't get to the point where you can do it, but that is part of the game. Like, you're able to...
You start to take over the aliens. Yeah, you become, powers.
Like, you're doing, like, implants, and, like...
Spoiler alert, jeez.
No, that's known.
So what? What if people don't know? That'd be a cool part for them to find out, you know.
Well, if they don't know that, then they haven't looked at Prey at all, because that's like been all the trailers for the game leading into it.
I know, I'm kind of mad that that's in the trailers, though, actually.
Well, that's like one of the things. That's the only thing the trailers are, because nobody knew what the hell the game was.
I just read that on Wikipedia right now.
Exactly.
That's the only reason I know.
I don't like that it's, like, known. I want it to be, like, something that you play, and then you just find out, and you're like, holy fuck, I can do this? This is amazing. Like, blow your mind, you know?
Or if they're going to show that, that's fine, but like, I feel like...
If you know about it, you're just waiting for that part to happen.
Before the game being released, like, that's all the trailers they put out there was, like, you rolling around as a banana down the hallway.
Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck? This game looks weird as shit. What's the point?
They showed fucking Darth Maul with the double-sided lightsaber, and I'm like, why? Why are they going to do that in the trailers?
Kylo Ren with the fucking crucifix sword.
Yeah, why they got to do that? I don't like that, man. I would, like, let me know. You know? You know?
So, these it also gives you that little bit of creeped-out factor because... I mean, for me, I love the Aliens movies. Like, in that series of movies, they're just very well done.
Oh, I hate the awful movies.
No, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I know. No, this is, I know. I watch Alien.
So, the mimics, like, the baseline, you know, creatures are basically facehuggers when it comes down to it.
Facehuggers?
Yes. The facehugger aliens, the ones that hatch.
Oh. I thought you said facehuggers. And that sounds like way space huggers? Cooler.
I heard face N-words, and I was like, whoa.
Facehuggers. So basically, they want to fucking jump down your face, go down in your body, eat out your fucking soul, and like lay an egg. But instead of an alien hatching out of your chest, basically when you go to like some other room and you see some other scientist get attacked, like it'll go down like, down their fucking throat, and it like sucks out the whole damn soul, and like one goes into them, and all of a sudden like it spawns out four of them. So like it just has that sense of like it's coming at you. So it has that other feeling of like, oh Jesus, get the fuck away from me! They're in your face.
It
creatures.
Sounds like the Flood from Halo, which that was exactly not what great. I was gonna
say. But it doesn't have that same, like, they're mindless, because it has that, they get stealthy, they try to sneak around you, they do different things. So it's smart. A better AI to them. But it does, I have the same feeling when it has that the flood feeling to it.
Flood. Nobody likes a flood, though.
But it's the problem. But it's not like 500 flood creatures. It's like three here, two there, four here.
Dude, when you play Halo on like expert or whatever the top thing is, and you get to the flood level, you're like, this is so ridiculous. Like, this is gonna take me 3 hours to beat this one level. That should take me like 15 minutes. Flood was tough. That was a rough one.
So yeah, as you're playing the game, just that sound, it makes you stay vigilant the whole time. That's for you, Knife. I don't know what I down myself to make sure I say here. Put in quotes, vigilant. Let's see here. So yeah, I didn't get into the gameplay far enough to actually get the implant perks and the abilities to phase shift yourself into objects like the aliens do. But the game itself, like, I plan on getting it like for my birthday or some shit like that, or buying it eventually.
Dude, start washing cars, bro. Yeah. Just do it.
You can do my yard, dude.
Yeah, do that, man. We'll buy you. What do you want? What are you gonna get him? You gonna give him the game, the whole game, just for doing?
No.
Get him like a gift card or something. Now, gift card, you got to go to the store and stuff. I don't want to do that either. That's too much.
You can just order it off Amazon.
Yeah, order it off Amazon.
Yeah. So I can't spend it on drugs.
You can do that. You can mow my lawn.
You can pick up my dog poop. You don't have a lawn.
Pick up my dog poop.
Fake grass that's like 4x4.
Give me a sponge bath.
Has like 300 pieces of dog shit on all the time.
It's a lot of pieces.
Hey, I cleaned it up yesterday.
No, good for you.
First time in like a month. It's good times.
So yeah, the game was just, it's a lot of fun. It definitely feels like BioShock, which is good and bad. I think they should have diversified a little bit, but obviously that's just the beginning of the game. I suggest playing it. I don't know what other reviews are out there. There's different, it's, you know, mixed reviews.
It's mixed reviews, but I mean, I'm pretty sure that it's a good game.
But I feel like if you like the BioShock series, check this game out. At least rent it, because easy. I feel like if you like BioShock, you're going to like and pray.
I mean, BioShock, I don't know if it's my favorite game of all time, but it's like, it's probably top three if it's not my favorite.
That's definitely up there for a quality of game for me, yeah.
I got to look at the, remember that we had that, we were posting our top 10 best games on Twitter like 2 years ago or something like that? Remember that?
Kind of, yeah, the top 10.
I got to look at that list and see if I was, how much of an idiot I am and if I disagree with myself right now to see about that.
All right, last thing. We can fucking move on. So, my son continues to fucking impress the shit out of me. And he is getting more and more into things I like, and he is fucking beyond over the top into Mario and everything that there is to do with Mario. He runs around all the time. I'm Mario, you're Luigi. Let's get on Yoshi. And he starts talking like Mario. It's a me, a Mario. He's fucking 4 years old, running around having a great time.
You're like, fuck you, Luigi sucks. Why do I have to be Luigi?
Yeah, you should be more like a Wario. Like, you're more like a Wario than Luigi.
I don't smell like you, okay? But I mean, like, you're not wrong.
I mean, you kind of look like him right now. I don't know. I mean, really. I mean, I know your mustache isn't all crooked and crazy, but, like, besides that, you're the same person.
I can make it be crooked and crazy.
Is that the Wario hat he's wearing?
Actually, it might be.
It's pretty close.
That's like a Mario type of hat.
Yeah, kind
mine of. Mine is like the checkered.
It's getting close, bro. It's pretty close.
You're, like, slowly turning into Wario.
Nobody's still saying that I'm Mario.
Yeah, you're kind of like a douchey bro.
I'm a douchey bro. See, it's great. My hat looks like super broed out.
You're a fake
East
hipster.
County, San Diego, desert rat, piece of shit. And then, but no, it says Yosemite National Park on it. So
you're a Yosemite piece of shit.
Yeah, you're a square.
Yeah, I fucking eat granola bars and do CrossFit.
But he pulled his first, like, trick, quote unquote, grandma into getting in the game.
Yeah.
And so what he did.
What game?
That's what I'm getting
to. Oh, sorry. My bad.
So they're at Target, and my mom calls me just to confirm that I don't have this game. He's like, I don't know how he did it, but he's somehow convinced me to buy a Mario game. I'm like, whoa, what? Really? Awesome. And so she's like, names off one or two games. I'm like, no, we have Super Mario, the Wii U, like.
What, Galaxy or whatever?
No, it's like Super Mario, Wii U. And it comes with, like, Luigi Bros. U kind of thing. Like, it's like the newer Mario of them kind of thing, right before Mario Maker. I'm like, no, I've got that one. And she starts putting on some, like, DS game. Like, no. Get Super Mario Maker. That's the one. So my son convinced Grandma to get us Super Mario Maker, which is fucking awesome and a lot of fun.
Fuck, yeah.
It's pretty damn sweet. Like, the first thing going on there, there's all kinds of community-made maps. Just, like, you know, thousands to choose from. But they also have, like, quote-unquote event maps that if you play, you get to unlock skin. So, like, the whole time you're playing, like, the older retro version, like, the 8-bit stuff Mario's,
right.
You're able to unlock skins. So you can play as anything from, by the way, one of the levels you can do is Baby Metal. So I can play as the three Baby Metal girls in Mario now. I can make, like, you put like a mushroom block, you put a question mark mushroom on there. So you hit it, get the mushroom, and you grow to like large Mario, but instead you go from Mario into Baby Metal. And you're the three girls together.
I think I know what the outro music's gonna be.
And so from there, like, I'm like, that's fucking awesome. So that's one of the first ones that I did. And then I saw Pokemon. So like there's literal a Pokemon level where you go through one of three doors. And you either get to fucking choose Bulbasaur, Charmander, or Squirtle. So you beat it three times as each different character, and you get unlock the different skins. And then I have like the Charizard fucking amiibo and the Bowser amiibo and Pikachu. Put it on the thing, and you get those skins. Not
Mario Maker characters. It's like two dimensional side scrolling. Still,
it's
right?
Still
it's 3D graphic, but it's like side scrolling.
It depends. You can make whatever world you want from everything from the original Mario all the way up to brand new Mario.
Okay.
So you can play in all 8-bit levels. You can play in Super Mario World.
That's even better
than
play, yeah. Sweet. And
Super Mario Wii Universe.
Obviously, leaving out Mario 64 and
right,
yeah, stuff like that. That's all side scroller stuff. So all the side scroller Marios. There's maps and levels and pieces, and the more you build a level, the more you unlock. So it gives you a little bit of like, you don't get you everything at once. The more you build, the more time you're building, you get a quote unquote delivery, and it's just you're able to like put, now you can put spiky shell fucking creatures and Koopas and different things, different like pieces of landscape into the game.
Right.
The more you make, the more you unlock.
Yeah, the DS version is where you gotta like beat worlds and stuff, and then you like unlock certain things to add to the levels. But yeah, Mario
sweet,
Maker's
I'm like, I'm like, fucking thank you, son. Like, that's like, that's awesome. So I'm like, I'm sitting there making him levels.
How come they
don't
stream, Can they stream that somehow?
Yeah,
I've actually watched fucking people stream that, and that's actually more entertaining than most things I've watched. Because you watch other people like play other people's maps, so they're like, "What the fuck?" You know, like, how the fuck am I supposed to make this jump? Yeah. So it's very entertaining.
Pretty cool. And I don't know if I talked about it yet either, but at the same time, like, me as a parent, a lot of parents have that little thing where, you know, a kid wants something, you make them do some, like, chores to make their own money or have their own money. So, like, you go buy it for them, they pay you back for kind of thing. They use their own money to buy something. The first thing he ever did that with, for getting, like, $15 from Easter, is he found on YouTube, because he watched tons of YouTube videos, like Mario and all kinds of other stuff. He found Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, which is a Nintendo DS game from, like, 2013.
Yeah.
He found that and he wanted to play it. He's like, oh, blah. Like, okay, well, buddy, look, you can buy the game. You have this money from Easter? We'll go to GameStop right now and go buy this game. Found it used for $15-$20 and gave me his Easter money. Nice. So it was just kind of a cool, like, proud little, like, father moment of, like, the first thing my son bought with his own money was a fucking Mario game. Luigi granted, but it's a fucking Mario Universe game.
Yeah, we'll work on, you know, the subject matter later.
Like, I played Luigi's Mansion on GameCube. It was a fine game. Like, it is what it is. So it's just fucking, I'm pretty proud of him to be into Pokemon, into Mario, and all that other shit. Why are you tickling me? Are you leaving?
Yeah, I gotta go. It's late, bro. I'm an old man. I gotta get up in like 6 hours. So
Boo Earns!
Get over there.
So, yeah. Did a lot of shit in the last 2 weeks, though.
Yeah.
Kept talking a lot there. Sorry, but I did a lot of things this week.
No sorries to be said, you know?
So, quickly, what do you think about Magic?
Magic's a pretty good game.
Okay.
I have a good time with it.
Good.
Yeah, it's all right.
Any thoughts on a Pro Tour you want to throw out there?
Pro Tour. Best Pro Tour ever because the best deck ever won the Pro Tour, and I'm super excited about Mono Black Zombies. I'm not going to like buy into it. I actually sold all my shit because prices went crazy, so I made a couple $100, so I'm happy about that. But, yeah. I mean, Pro Tour is sweet. I mean, they got rid of the bullshit. Mardu Vehicles didn't do that well. Aetherworks Marvel is because
Mono Black Zombies just destroys.
It is. It's super hard to deal with, and Liliana's Mastery or whatever that shit is like good, and that's cool that it's like seeing play and shit like that. It's fucking rad, you know. So yeah. I was excited about that. I watched the whole thing, and whatever I missed, I just watched later, you know, because they have all that shit recorded on Twitch, and so
that's what I did.
It was sweet. Aetherworks Marvel, like, I'm not a big fan. I the thing is, I do like the energy. I like energy. Like, energy is a cool thing. I'm really excited that the energy came together like it did, and I don't, you know, I see no problems with it. But Aetherworks Marvel, just like, I mean, I don't like the randomness.
I was listening to another podcast, and the guy just nailed it. He's like, you get to see all these top level pros, like people who put a lot of time and effort, and they're skilled at Magic, and they're sitting there at the Pro Tour, and they're pretty much just fucking flipping a coin, going, oh, did you get heads? No, I didn't get heads. Did you get heads? No. Okay, we'll pass the turn. You know, like, that's what Marvel is. You're just fucking flipping a coin going, did you get it? Nope.
all right, you're basically watching like NASCAR drivers play with Matchbox cars, and you're like, wow, your talent is being very wasted right now.
Yeah,
a little bit.
So that was, like, to that same point, I thought it was funny. Like they do the whole go to the house and talk to people who are testing. And like that, whatever. But my favorite part about them doing that is they talked about one of the groups made a rule that if you spin the marble, basically, from the new fucking format with marble, Aetherworks, and you get an Ulamog, and you don't choose that in the first 5 seconds, you don't get a cast anymore, because it's bullshit. You're never going to choose anything else besides Ulamog if you see Ulamog on top six.
Yeah, that was annoying. Like, even watching people on MTGO, watching, like, Saffron all the streams or some shit like that, and I see him go, you know, they'll spin the marble, whatever, and then they wait like 20 seconds, and then it's like Ulamog. What?
Just fucking what are you going to choose?
Cast
Lightning?
And then you can Lunar go and think about what permanents you want to get rid of. But, like, you know, same thing. You're like, you know you're going to fucking cast that. Why waste everyone's time?
Yeah.
When they pause, all you're doing is going like, oh, they didn't get it. That's good. And then they just get it. You're like, well, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
What the fuck you, dude? Like, I'm at three. Just lightning bolt my ass. Like, stop it. Stop passing the turn. Just fucking send it my way, buddy. Yeah. So, all right. Handshakes all around. See you later.
Good, sir.
Love you long time. Peace out.
Oh, Jesus.
Listeners out there, leave a review on iTunes, please. I want to see some reviews. Also, go to our website, iflandskillkill.com, and we're under the podcast little link at the banner, or the top, whatever. There is a comment section there too. We got a comment there.
Oh, remember? Yeah, we got a comment. A couple. Oh, I think I mentioned it last cast.
Did it say it again?
It's the best podcast to listen to while getting a blowjob.
I haven't heard that one.
So go on there, and that could be our little forum.
Except for don't let her hear the cast, because she won't like it.
That could be our private little forum. Just go on our website and just like leave some fucking comments and make us laugh, and then we'll post some comments and make you.
And we'll talk about it on
make
the
you
podcast.
Famous on our cast.
Yeah,
so famous. All right, love you guys later.
All right, later.
Trash. Where the fuck? Here. What the fuck do I do with this shit?
Here.
Get all this shit out of here.
Perfect.
Please. All right, here. Get this one too, huh?
God, you're so neat.
Love you long time. Later.
All right, later. So, I guess let's just finish up with the Pro Tour. I mean, it was... We had the GP a couple weeks before, right? Or not the GP, the SCG, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And so the black-white zombie deck reared its head, a version of that. And so everyone was saying, like, you know, is zombies really going to make it? Is it just, you know, an SCG deck?
Is it viable?
Is it going to be competitive? And, I mean, fuck yeah, I'm trying to, I got the whole list in front of me, but I'm not sure
we don't need to go over the full decks.
No, I'm not trying to go for the whole list, I'm just trying to see that there's Aetherworks, Energy, Aetherworks.
There was a Black Green Energy for one deck, the rest of it was Aetherworks, Marvels, and Zombie decks in the top eight.
I'm just trying to see how
No Marty Vehicles made it to the top eight.
So there's three, two mono black and one white black. If my eyes do not deceive me.
And then one Black Green Energy, and then the other four were Aetherworks Marvel decks.
Yep, and so it was just cool to see a tribal deck that's pretty much just based off of Lords and Removal do some work. And that's like every fucking FNM goer's dream is like, oh, I like zombies, I want to build a zombie deck, and you just put all... It kind of just builds itself where you're like, oh, I just pull all the good zombie shit together. And then like, oh, there's the deck. And then you put some removal in and then you put lands and you go.
Yeah.
And so that's the deck that won the Pro Tour. And so it's exciting to see not some like, even though zombies is fast, it's not like an aggro deck. And
it's about getting that shit out there and then using the recursion for the late game to finish them off.
Like, yeah, and just building up the army of zombies. Yeah. And it was just really cool to see that. Zombies took it down, and
Jerry Thompson first place.
Yeah,
tour.
And it was kind of cool to see. Was it Reed Duke with the Salt Eye?
I was gonna bring that up too. Like, I'm not a big fan of the Aetherworks Marvel decks either.
Yeah,
but I will say like the Reed Duke team, Marvel, the Puzzle Quest team. If you're into the team shit, like who gives a fuck? But Reed Duke, I'm a fan of Reed Duke, and like he's one of the reasons I got into Elves because watching him play Legacy Elves it's like. When you know somebody's a really good Magic player or a good deck builder or somebody you just respect as a Magic player, like to watch Reed Duke pilot Elves is just a beautiful thing. He is fantastic at Legacy Elves. It's great. He plays Greenback Elves at the fucking shaman, and he's got the fucking, you know, the whole sideboard plan of disruption. It's just a great thing to watch him play. So I've been a fan of Reduke for a while, and his team came with Soltai Aetherworks Marvel, and that's just a completely different build. And it's usually teamer Aetherworks is usually the typical build, and little slight variations here and there for numbers on different cards and this and that. Well, their Soltai build was fucking sweet because it had this other avenue that wasn't just dependent on flipping the fucking coin. Like, it was, okay, we get bonuses, we get the chance to use these, you know, the fucking winding constrictor shit to get more energy and do things like that. And I think, it was a black energy that they used the long toss cups. They don't use that.
It was a little bit more on the delirium side, am I
yes,
correct?
Yes, it had delirium, so they're playing Ishkanas, they're playing the new Liliana's Death's Majesty, and one of the coolest fucking plays we saw was they used Liliana's Plus where you mill two cards and then put a 2-2 zombie on the field, 2-2 token. And so when they did that, they milled Ulamog.
Right.
Well, the minus three on Liliana's Death Majesty is to put to zombify. Put a creature from your graveyard on the battlefield, it also becomes a zombie. So they don't get the cash trigger from Ulamog, but they fucking milled Ulamog and said, okay, next turn, minus three, Ulamog on the field now. Like, that was a fucking cool play. That was one of the funnest moments for me to watch of any Aetherworks Marvel deck on the fucking tournament the whole time. It was like, that was sweet synergy right there.
That was one of the few matches that I was actually able to watch, and what, like you said, I too am not a big fan of the Marvel decks.
Yeah.
But it was just cool to see another avenue taken, going, hey, I could possibly play a turn 5, turn 6, Ulamog.
Yeah.
Without using Marvel. Yeah. So just in case you do accidentally mill it away or, you know, whatever the case may be, there's just another way to...
It was basically taking the black-green delirium deck and adding Aetherworks Marvel to it.
Yeah.
And obviously you got to change certain cards around, and the reason it went Soltai that way, which is green, black, blue, is they added things like Glimmer Genius in there, so you get the energy while you're drawing cards, and it adds little things to it. But I don't think it was not heavy blue. I think mostly it was for
Glimmer.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's mostly for Glimmer. I think they also had some sensors in there. I'm not really sure the exact list, but it was mostly about making a delirium deck and then adding this other element to it. And it was just of Aetherworks Marvel decks to watch. That's the one. If I would never play that deck because, like you said, the whole coin flip shit. That's one of the things I hate in Magic. Like, I hate, like, red cards that give you this, like, oh, this and that. Like, it's one thing if it's value, if it's, like, you're playing around with fucking Abbot of Carol Keep, and, like, you're trying to, like, do this aggro thing, and you're doing this prowess deck, and that's one thing. When you're doing, like, certain things, like the Chaos Warp. Like, yeah. Thank you. Like,
I knew that's
fuck what you that card. Like, I mean, like, yeah, like, for red, like, that's... I would play it if I was playing an EDH deck, because that's a way to deal with things that red can't deal with. And that's fine, I get that. But that style of completely unknown, like, I can get this awesome stuff. I can get completely shit. I can help my opponent out on accident. I don't like the coin flip game. That's another reason why I don't like EDH that much. It's too much of a coin flip game.
It's kind of
big shit happening. And while it's fun, it's like, I prefer building a deck that I have synergistically built to do what I want it to do.
It's kind of like a little bit more in the Hearthstone realm of random number generation.
Yeah.
Where the odds are, you know, less in your favor than you'd like them to be.
Yeah.
Even though they are capable of powerful things.
Yeah. So it's not my deal. I get it's powerful. I understand casting Ulamog like that. Like, I get it. But that's not the kind of deck I'll ever fucking play.
But you know what is great is that if anybody remembers, I've been on the zombies nuts ever since they came out. And so I had a playset.
Since you were a baby.
Since I was a baby.
Just a young man.
And so I have
just a baby.
I had a playset of Crypt Breakers and what's the other? Relentless Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also had a foil playset of each of those. And I was able to trade out.
You didn't get a foil playset of the Relentless Dead? I knew you had like a couple. You had a playset of it?
I have a playset of each in foil and non-foil.
Yeah, good for you.
And so I was able to trade out three of my Relentless Dead for a Liliana of the Veil. And so I am just one Liliana away from fucking completing my 8-pack.
So proud of you. So proud of you.
And it's kind of shitty for Hot Sauce because he was the one who wanted them. And I was like, why do you want them when they're the most expensive? He's like, I think they're going to go up. And I'm like, I don't really think they're going to go up. I think maybe like in a couple years they will, just because it's a fucking...
It's a known power card. Like, there's a lot of times that doesn't do enough, doesn't want... A lot of situational things where it doesn't work out how you want Relentless Dead to work out. But it's a powerful card.
But in, like, casual, I guess casuals don't buy foils all that much. But just, like, in EDH, they're only going to want the fucking foils. And so I was like, maybe in a couple years they'll go higher. But, like, I don't know. I felt bad because I was like, I just...
Well, I mean, like, he's trying to capitalize on the peak right now with it winning the fucking Pro Tour. Like, that is a card that has shot up from... Because it was started off at, like, $15 for the regular. Then it dropped all the way down to, like, you can get them for, like, $4 or $5. And now it's already... It's climbed back up to, like, $20 for the non-foil.
I don't think Relentless Dead foils were... down to...
I don't mean... I'm talking about the regular okay, pricing. Gotcha. So, like, you add that multiplier on a foil.
Yeah.
It's like... So, he's trying to capitalize on people buying into this deck right now.
Yeah.
Which, him doing a TCG marketplace, that's understandable. Yeah. At the same time, I would never fucking trade away a Liliana the Veil, but he's not the kind of player who would play Liliana, you know, properly.
Yeah. Well, it's just... It was... I was like, okay, like, I'll do it, but just know that, like... I'm not trying to scam you.
This isn't a Sphinx of Revelation situation.
Yeah, this is...
What was the card? Entreat the Angels?
No, it was... Yeah, maybe... I forget exactly what it was.
Him and Justin?
Yeah, him and Quickness. But I was just like, yeah, I'll make the trade if you're down, but just know that, like, you're buying at the top, you know? And so he's trying to get out of him on TCG Player, and I'm not sure if he's been successful at it yet or not.
I kind of hope not.
But, I mean, I got Liliana the Veil out of it, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, he gets like a dick.
And I still have the playset of the non-foils.
Yep.
And, like, you know what? I'm not huge on specking into paper cards. I mean, I have done it some.
Yeah, you're definitely more a specker on MTGO.
Yeah, MTGO is just, it's a lot more convenient, and just at a moment's notice, I can go on there and sell off my cards. Like, right before the Pro Tour, like, Relentless Dead online went up to, like, 14 tickets or something like that. And I was like, yeah, get these the fuck out of my fucking, out of my collection, because I bought the Relentless Deads, but I just... They never had a chance to shine in the decks I was making.
Yeah.
You know, they're obviously it shines in certain decks, not in the type I was making. So I just sold them off and I was like, cool, you know? But as for, you know, selling off the non-foil copies, I'd rather just keep them, have the playset.
Yeah.
But get rid of the foils. I kept one, each of the foils for my EDH deck. My zombie deck, which
for sure.
That's like the deck that I want to foil out one day, just have completely foil.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I was able to make money off a lot of the zombies in paper on Modo. I mean, I just got out of a lot of stuff. Before the Pro Tour, I also picked up Liliana's Mastery or whatever the fuck that is in foil. So that price shot the fuck up too. So yeah, I'm really happy because I like zombies and I like making money off them.
That's another one of the big differences between like me and Hot Sauce, where like one of these things happens, like where he has like specs or when he's like gonna go sell cards off, or he's like talks about like, oh, there's this huge spike. Like he goes and sells like his decks he already has like made and sells them off. Like it was one thing with the Eldrazi winner situation. That was just a smart move on his part.
Yeah.
To sell off that because he made that mono black Eldrazi with the fucking Eye of Eldrazi.
Yeah, he sold it
at the peak. Like he got out right in time.
Yeah.
And good for him on that. But like he sent a text to us, and this is what led to the conversation about trading those for the Liliana, was like, oh, these guys are spiked now, like sell your copies now, and now's the time to sell them, blah, blah, blah. Like you're not wrong. But for me, like for him to take apart his modern deck, the only one he has built right now, is he had a zombie modern deck, and him take apart that and sell pieces off, like with Crypt Breakers and the Relentless Dead, like I could never do that. For me, like I sold off like a Gideon Ali Zenikar at peak price. Like one, I hate Gideon. Two, it's not a card I play. Like, and at the same time, like if I'm gonna play it, I'm gonna want four of, because that's a card it's a very powerful card. I know that. It's not a card I want to play. Other than I like tokens, but again, if I'm gonna play that card, I want the playset. I'm not gonna play one of in the deck and hope it just works out that one time. Like,
yeah.
That's not how I build decks. So like that's a card I traded off on Puka Trade, which led me into getting a Liliana of the Veil. That helped me get there. For me, like he's like, oh, you should sell those guys off. I'm like, I have those cards. I have Relentless Deads. I have the Crypt Breakers, but I don't necessarily have a deck for those at the moment. I have a couple like an EDH stuff, but I don't have like a basic deck that I have all of them used up. But I still wouldn't trade them off because I love the fucking cards. It's my style of gameplay.
There's the price of having to really pay attention to finance and pay attention to the market and pay attention to tournaments and the results and what prices are influencing other cards. And it's like there's a lot of
effort into really selling at the peak and buying back in at the low and this and that. And like you said, you'd rather just play those cards.
Yeah.
So you're willing to eat that quote unquote profit you could make by just simply keeping the cards.
Even if they drop down and back to $4 and they go out of standard and they're not fucking seeing those kind of play.
It's
like, I don't care. I want that card. Like, it's a card I'm going to play with.
It's worth that hypothetical price you could sell them for at the peak just to know that you have them and that you don't have to worry about ever picking those cards up again.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is, like, what if they don't go down? And he every once in a while, zombies again. Like, he has to buy back into those. Like, they're gonna go down some, but like, I don't know. Just in general, I can't imagine ever taking apart a deck that I play and like, of cards I enjoy and build around to straight out sell off for the money for them, just to have that money for them. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just a difference in personalities and style of play and style of caring about a collection. Where I'm also a bit more of a collector. By no means like am I that kind of person, because you have to be a special kind of fucking
addict.
I mean, I am definitely an addict in this game, but you have to have a shit ton of money and be a special kind of person to be someone who collects like playsets of every single card that's ever made in Magic. Like, that is Magic's already expensive. That is, you better have bucks in the bank to fucking do something like that. So I'm a collector, but I'm not gonna go buy a single fucking copy. Like, he's not a collector at all. He's more about trying to make this profit, trying to do whatever. But I just can't imagine selling off a deck.
Yeah, and that's just, I mean, that's kind of always how Hot Sauce has been with decks. You know, he'll play them for a while, and then he'll just disassemble them to use them for other decks. And so that's just
one thing, but that's you still own the cards that way.
Yeah, and I mean, he'll probably, hopefully, buy back into them once they drop back down, or, you know, whatever the case may be. But he doesn't have that...
that collection addiction?
Yeah, because there's that twinge in... Even me trading him the foil Relentless Deads to get the Liliana, I'm like, I need that Liliana. It's not like every day I get the opportunity to just like trade straight up for it.
But I know you took a second to go, these are my foil Relentless Deads.
Yeah, at the same time, I was looking at him, I was like, I don't want to give you away,
But then it clicks in, and it's for Liliana, not just for cash. You're getting Liliana for them.
Yeah, so I was super happy. At that point, the prices were, you know, give or take around even, you know, we didn't really, obviously we're not gonna pinch pennies with friends, and so I think the zombies were 30 a piece and Liliana was 80, but you know, like with fluctuations and everything, like whatever, it doesn't
and you're
matter.
Already feeling like he's buying at the high point, so you have a little bit of this like slight twinge guilt, but you shouldn't feel guilty because you're telling him that you feel like it's the high point and then now it's his decision when he wants to still do it, so he believes they're gonna continue to go up.
Yeah, so you know, he's trying to get rid of them and, you know, trying to leave the 10% for the next guy is what they say. So hopefully he gets that extra 10% out of it. But, yeah, I'm just fucking super stoked for this Pro Tour. It feels like the metagame has shifted, especially since...
That was great to see.
Like, since the ban and everything, the addendum, they're calling it. God. No, it's an emergency ban. Emergency 911.
You can whatever fucking you want, but it's a goddamn emergency ban, which leads me to another point that we'll get to. Like, you can call it a fucking addendum all you want, but there's a reason that they did something that Mark Rosewater announced today.
Okay, well, I mean, I don't.
But
really...
I have one last thing to talk about the Pro Tour.
Okay,
and that is, like we talked before. Like, well, first off, before getting into that, is that me and you both love when they show the drafts.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That's one of the best parts of it.
I love the actual draft. Not necessarily the games they play, but just watching them draft. Mm-hmm. Super interesting, because then you get to go like, fuck, I wonder what they were thinking. They made a totally different pick than me.
Yeah.
And then you see it like work out, and you're that's why they're a fucking pro.
And to that same point, like, I love watching the like, actual draft too. I don't usually even watch the actual games of them playing very much. Like, I watch it here and there, or have it on the background or something else. I will say, like, this time of the last several Pro Tours in a row, I was actually more interested in watching the actual gameplay this time.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of this set. I love the intricacies. I love the different styles, the things you can do. And so for me, this time was actually pretty enjoyable to watch the actual drafted decks. From there, like, a lot of times the Pro Tour stuff, you know, when the standard that is this stale, I wasn't expecting to fucking go into it enjoying watching the rest of the tournament very much. I did watch it, and... The one thing I will say is I'm so happy that Marty Vehicles got so fucking outrighted by zombies that they barely showed it on camera, for one.
Oh, I think they did that on purpose.
I agree.
They purposely didn't show it on camera.
Which was a big help. But besides however much the metagame it was, that was a great fucking move on their part, because it actually made me watch Pro Tour.
Yeah, that's super fucking smart. You know, instead of banning...
Something they haven't done in the past.
Instead of banning cards, like, just don't show it on camera, and that way, even though it is the card is oppressive,
yeah.
at least like the image of yeah. the oppressive card isn't show as bad. Show the homebrew, because,
show the obscure decks.
Yeah, because it's not on camera 24/7, so it doesn't seem as bad, even yeah. though it actually is. Because
I mean, a lot of that is like most of us aren't at the Pro Tour. There's only 400 people there or whatever. Most of us aren't there. Most of us aren't at these other big tournaments. When we show us the same deck over and over and over again, it just hammers it in that standard is stale. If you show us homebrews, you show us obscure decks, you show us different variations of different things, it gives us the facade of at least enjoying watching Magic again.
I thought it was dope that they showed that...
New Perspectives combo?
Yeah, the combo deck.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, I didn't even heard of this one yet. Fuck, this is awesome.
Yeah,
I
mean, that was like, the first
that's
match.
That's cool.
That was the first match I watched. And, I mean, the guy lost. He didn't get the combo off. He like had like a board sweeper, and he didn't use the board sweeper. Instead, he tried to combo off, and he failed.
Yeah.
Which was weird. Like, you know, everyone was like, why the fuck do you do that? But anyways, I was like, well, how does this deck win? Like, I was interested because yeah. the deck hadn't gone off, and all they were talking about was, like, if he gets the right cards, he's going to win on the spot. And I'm like, well, how the fuck
yeah,
does that
how?
Happen?
Yeah.
And so even though that deck really didn't make it into the top echelon of deck, you know,
it
top 32 or whatever.
Obscure on the off-the-kilter fucking deck.
Yeah, that's what we want to see.
Like, we're not even in the combo decks.
Yeah.
It was just a new deck, at least, to fucking look at and see it work with, see if it's going to work or not work with these new cards that they're trying to showcase. It was good for them to show this deck because it was almost all new cards.
And go ahead and go on TCGPlayer.com, look up ILCK Hot Sauce, and buy his Relentless Deads. They're still on there. Anyways, that's a little commercial for...
The last thing I wanted to bring up,
ILCK Hot Sauce,
before going on my little tangent about the draft stuff, is I really enjoy the look into R&D stuff and like how they build the sets and
yeah.
seeing Mark Rosewater go his high-pitched Mickey Mouse voice and get so excited. This is my favorite fucking thing to watch. It's so
yeah.
great. All joking aside, though, I love how much he loves this game, how much he
yeah.
loves the product he puts out, and how much he loves to see a new set. This set that's been out, like, they've been working on for 2 years or whatever it is, and you can see that produced and see people play those cards. Like, you can feel how much he loves doing his job.
Yeah, and just talking.
So I'm a huge fan of Rosewater.
Like the
he just happens to have a goofy ass voice,
yeah,
and he gets so excited. It's like, yeah,
he's just an easy target.
He's a Mickey Mouse Don Vito. He's like me.
But like, yeah, the world building, the everything that went into it. Like, you know, the articles they put out about, they're kind of transparent about what they did in developing the set, and, oh, we tried this mechanic, it didn't work, we tried tweaking it like this,
mm-hmm.
and then they kind of, during the Pro Tour, like you said, they kind of go into some of that, and, yeah, I find that super fucking
yeah,
interesting.
I love it.
No other game is that transparent about its decision-making
mm-hmm.
in regards to the mechanics of the game, and it's just a cool thought experiment, and you can kind of like get in the mind of R&D for like a quick minute and go
yeah.
like, oh yeah, well maybe if they did that, and oh maybe if there was minus counters on there, like, you know, it's just totally
yeah.
cool to think about.
So the reason I'm bringing this up though is in one of the videos, like I remember a while, maybe a couple months ago, I was like, I'm pretty sure I think that Dave Humphries is part of R&D. But I kind of forgot about it. I didn't have, you know, proof of it. And Dave Humphries, the reason I bring this up is because for Christmas, Knife got me. He got me a book in the Magic Lore series of books. Is it the Zach Faden book or what? Which one is it? I forget.
No, it was the.
No, it was
the Ravnica.
Yeah. With the fucking.
The original Ravnica.
Yeah. And so I haven't read it yet. By the way, sorry. I'm going to. I have it with the book. I'm going to read it. Anyways, the person he bought it used and the person who sent it to him happened to leave their bookmark in there, which happened to be a baseball card style of Dave the Hump Humphries, and it gave his Pro Tour stats. But he just looked like this uber pedophile on this fucking card, and it just looks creepy. And we've had jokes, but I've had it on the cast before. It's just like, Jesus Christ, this goddamn pedophile is like, it's just like, he played as a token now. He gave me the book, but I saw this fucking thing, I'm like, and he took it back.
So he could use it against me as a token on the field for when he makes something he doesn't have a token of or whatever.
So yeah, basically I use it as a wingmate rock token as creepy Dave Humphreys. Sure, he's a great guy, but the picture just looks kind of creepy,
it's
you know?
It's not right.
Sometimes we all take creepy pictures, so, you know, whatever.
I noticed in one of the Inside R&D videos that, yes, Dave the Humphreys works for WotC. I just thought it was hilarious. Like, oh my God. Hope there's no children around.
Yeah, his nickname is The Hump.
Yeah, yeah.
So just know that The Hump was involved in all those cards you're touching.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Moving past Pro Tour stuff, what I alluded to with Mark Rosewater and the fucking them trying to call an addendum and not an emergency ban and a fuck-up.
Yeah.
So, WotC News. Today, Rosewater... on his blogatog that he posts mostly on when people ask him questions or this or that.
Right.
Announced today, in response to all the banning fuck-ups, announced on his blog that they have made a new group in R&D called Play Design, whose sole purpose is to maintain a healthy standard environment to play test cards and to make sure they don't have to have emergency bannings anymore. That
so basically,
goal.
They're like, hey, future league.
Yes.
You guys aren't cutting it.
Yeah.
We're just gonna make another like,
exactly. I think it's so mostly is it for show situation in the sense that because already is a future league, but they also do that future league in advance, not like as close to release or doing things like that.
Right.
So like it's more like in development future league goes with it. They don't really look at older cards; they look at that current set and do
so. It's like standard.
It's for standard.
For standard. Okay, for standard. That's good.
It's a key standard healthy.
So it's just
it's
a
basically
it's just a one quote, future unquote, league.
Yeah.
It's not a future basically. League. It's just a future league.
So it's to quote, you know, to quote unquote make it keep a healthy environment, healthy standard environment. It's basically saying so they don't fuck up anymore with having to do standard bannings.
And that's good. That's exactly what they need to do.
Yeah, which is also good because it also means them doing this means that they're still going to make cards and not going to like take away all the power. They're going to make the ones they're going to make and they're going to test it to make sure it's not too powerful. And that's one thing. But to say, like, oh, go... Because they're already going away from such power as they've had in the past. Like, that's already been very relevant. And we get some really awesome cards, but the overall power is definitely way lower than the past.
Well, you know, it's the whole adage of back in the day, the spells were the powerful things, creatures sucked. And now it's kind of going in the opposite direction where creatures are getting better, spells are kind of sucking.
I'm not happy about.
But, you know.
I mean, it's fine. I get it. Cycles and cycles of life.
I'll take a Thragtusk. Yeah.
Well, that death card's fine, but at that same time, there were still good spells, and then now you can't draw cards to save your life. Like that's why I'm so excited for pull for tomorrow, because they haven't printed a card like that in a long time. I think that card is super powerful for a card draw spell, and I'm so happy they printed that card.
I definitely underrated that card when I first saw it. I was just like, yeah, whatever. They always have one of these type of cards
It's in that level of actual card draw power. That's a playable fucking legit card for a control deck. That modern doesn't have solid card draw anymore. Modern does not have that.
It
doesn't have the cantrips. It doesn't have this late game restock my hand as I'm controlling the board. Now it's late game. I hope I get there. Now it's I have a fucking spell that can play to help me fucking re-fucking fill my hand.
So I want like four of for my Kefnet deck, my standard deck, which I will talk about a little bit later. But yeah, that card is fucking gold for a control deck.
So for this, this play design group, they've already hired Melissa DeTora, which was Frank Lepore's girlfriend. Pretty sure they broke up because he moved back to like Florida or some shit. Melissa DeTora, if you don't remember her, she is a very good Magic player. She has top aided Pro Tour. She is a solid player.
She top aided Gatecrash,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah, because that's when we
was it Gatecrash. Was then she also top aided? Like, I think it was like
it was
in Born of the Gods time because it was when I was. No, Matt, was it M15?
Pretty sure. Anyways,
she's a solid player. Like, she was a contender. Maybe she top 8 in that time. And then when I was watching, we got in the game at M15.
I think
in that time frame, she was up in that chance to get to a top 8.
Yeah, that was the first time a woman had top 8 Pro
so
Tour.
She is a solid player. She's very good at Magic. But once you go work for WotC, you're no longer tournament eligible.
Right.
It is a design deal.
A condition.
So she's no longer a staple in the game as far as a up front figure for women to get in the game kind of thing. But she works at WotC. Well, her and Andrew Brown, who's also a top eighter of Magic and Pro Tours, they've both hired both of them where she was like part-time, I guess. She's now full-time in this play design group.
Oh, yeah, I saw something about that.
Yes. So, like, I think part of it is a definite showing of, like, hey, we know we fucked up. Sorry, that we're going to try to fix it. And part of it truly is them doing this to
make sure there's no fuck ups, but also, you know, it's just also it's half appeasing the fucking community, half that it needs to happen.
Yeah, it's they need to fluff up the PR part of it, but also it just needs to fucking happen. And I mean, having actual people who have top aided pro tours, and I don't know who's in the future league. They might be awesome players, but you know, just some random Joe.
Yeah, I don't even know that that's like a design, like a set of people. I think it's like these are people who are working on the set themselves, and so they also play games with the cards to go about it.
Yeah,
part of that is to make sure it's like no too powerful things, but it's not like it's not their main goal, their main focus. Like it's part of what they're doing. Where this group is supposedly sole purpose is to make sure there's a healthy environment for it.
Just imagine like getting paid to basically play.
I know
the beta.
That sounds awesome.
That would be fucking sweet.
I didn't recognize the head. They announced who the head guy of this group is. I didn't recognize his name, so I didn't remember. I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
But apparently there will be an official like letter announcement sometime in June from him about this play design group. That is my magic news.
And that's the one step forward. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And then pretty soon we're going to have two steps back. I'm not sure what that's going to be, sure it's going to happen.
It always does.
Yeah.
It's WotC. We love them, but goddamn, get your shit together at some point.
So what else we got on the talking list?
As far as Magic stuff, that's about it. Other than your game day promos, I mean, your full art winners are going to be Glorybringer. And so that's going to be an expensive card.
Nice.
As far as full art, it looks great.
Full art foil,
just like a Jorian. And things like that they do for
language
game day.
And stuff like
yes.
That, yeah.
And so that is the winner's one. Get that. The participation one is True Heart Duelist for 1W. It's a 2/2 that can block an additional creature each combat and also has Embalm. So that's the, you know, it's like a draft playable card. It's nothing you're going to actually play in any kind of constructed deck. But that is the participation card. It's also full art. What you got there, bro?
So, no other promos down the line?
That is where we're at the moment. I think there is some other promo, but I forgot what it is, and I didn't write it down, so. That is the topics I have for us.
At least they're including some playable promos, because Glorybringer, I mean, it might not have seen a whole bunch of play at the Pro Tour,
but it's a known solid card.
That is just a powerful card.
Yeah, I mean, well, it won't see as much play probably as a Stormbreath, because different times, different formats. But it is like the Stormbred Dragon of this particular cycle of Standard.
Right.
Like it is that level of power.
It is the good dragon of the set.
Yeah.
All right. Well, speaking of dragons, I'm going to talk about a deck that I was dragging my nuts across my opponent's chin because of how fucking grindy and controlling and just fucking shit on you fucking slow it is. And yes,
I'm
talking about
Kefnet.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking about Standard Kefnet. You know, I've been like fluffing.
You're like not even happy to talk about this deck that's so grindy.
Okay, I named it Careful now. Because the initial translation of the card was Kefnet the Careful.
Yeah.
And so now it's Mindful.
Before you get in your deck, I had a question for you. Was it you that thought Sensor was shit or Hot Sauce?
I mean, I wasn't a huge... I didn't think it was going to take off.
Have you come around to my point of view on it yet?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, cards like that are very dependent on the metagame.
Agreed and disagree, to a point.
And... Or the format and the metagame. Because we have had cards like that in the past, and sure, they saw play, but they weren't really that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like because there are very powerful things going on in Standard right now, I think it has a little bit more weight behind it, and the fact that it can cycle
that's the biggest point of my point
improves it like fivefold.
Yeah, that's what I was really getting at with you. Is like the 2-mana Force Spike is an exciting card. It's not an exciting card. Not a card you would see in decks, but because it has cycle, when it's time to get something else in your hand, or you know they're playing around it, they know you have it in your hand in your deck, so they're going to play around it now and always leave 1 mana before playing some other spell. Because it has that cycling to it, it makes it a full on playable card in blue. So go ahead for Kefnet. I remembered you not being into that card and wanted to kind of say, hey, sucker, I gotcha.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have played against it. I haven't played it myself, and I see the power level in it now that it's been cast against me in some very shitty situations. So I'm going to be talking about my Kefnet standard deck, and it is Jeskai, so blue, white, and red.
America.
Fuck yeah. And I'm only running three Kefnets just because, you know, you don't want too many of
legendary.
Them. And it is a control deck. You're going to be drawing cards. You're going to get there. You know, you're going to get that in your hand, so don't want the full four.
At that
point,
I don't know your deck list yet, but at that point, you can almost go to two because it is that control deck that you're going to get to it. But
true.
We'll see.
I mean, there's definitely situations where I play it on three, and then there's situations where I play it on turn 10.
Yeah.
And so it's very dependent on the matchup. But let's go into the deck list. So we got 24 lands. It's, you know, it's lands. Whatever.
Are you playing the cycle lands?
I think I have them in here.
They have the Dimir cycle lands. Well, not Dimir, excuse me, but they have the different versions you can play.
I don't think I've bought them yet online, but
okay.
I mean, they should.
Would
go
you
there.
if you had bought them by this point?
Yes, yes. Right. Because I'm running Evolving Wilds, and so, you know, lands, whatever. We know what the best lands are. I probably don't have the best lands in here because I don't want to spend the money. So on to the cards we cast from the lands. We have four Anticipate.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you?
Of course, an instant speed deck. Always good to have this in case the negate doesn't. You're not going to cast it or whatever the case may be. It's always good to have something to do with your mana on your opponent's end step.
You're not playing this deck on your turn, that's for sure.
That is for sure, because we have two Negate in the main board. Negate is a, like we had talked about last episode or the episode before, it is a main boardable card. Depending on the metagame, and who knows, with zombies being more prevalent now, I might switch that out for whatever the creature counterspell is. It's
Essence Scatter.
Remember,
we talked about it before. I forget who said it, but like, I loved their comment about they judge how healthy a standard format is by whether or not Negate is main deckable. Yeah. And right now, their view was it is main deckable, and I agree. Things like Aetherworks Marble running around, if you can negate that, fuck yeah. So I'm happy when it's time like this when you can have Negate as a viable card in main deck.
100% agree. And also, I mean, this card just gets better because of zombies being more prevalent, is Incendiary Flow. It's a sorcery, so it's not that great, but it does hit the player or a creature, and if that creature dies, it exiles it, so that just helps out against zombies, something I haven't had to deal with. So like I said, three Kefnet, the Mindful, and once again, if you're not familiar with Kefnet, Flying Indestructible God. Can't attack or block unless you have seven or more cards in hand. You can pay three and a blue to draw a card, and then you may return a land card you control to your hand. So, pretty much just pay four, draw a card.
Dude, how cool would it have been if they had printed some kind of card or land or artifact in this set that makes it so you have no max hand size? They haven't done that in a long time. That would be fucking
awesome.
Cool for this deck.
And I will mention one of land I'm running is Skyline Cascade, which enters the battlefield tapped. Target creature and opponent controls do not untap during its controller's next untap step. Well,
I'm a big fan of that card.
So,
just so you know, if you look at that card, it does not tap the creature. They have to already be tapped.
Yes, it has to already be tapped.
However, for a control deck, or I was playing it in my mill deck, I had a standard mill deck, and I thoroughly enjoy that card.
If it's late game, I'm controlling the board, and I don't have a removal spell, I can just keep drawing a card, bouncing that land, and then playing it next turn, tapping their shit down.
Dickhead!
So,
I didn't even think about that part of it. You're an ass.
So that's why I'm just running the one of, because it's not a
good. Oh, you got a Verdacious
card.
Gear Hulk? I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm also running four Radiant Flames in the main board. Just, I don't want anything getting in my way early game.
Yep.
So just kill anything that's out there. Also running three Fevered Visions. Just a great card. I want cards in my hand. I want cards in my opponent's hand. Fevered Visions is great against other control decks because if they don't respond to it right away,
they're getting burned like a motherfucker.
It's really hard for them to interact with it if they don't have something exiled, lose three life, whatever that one is. Not Utter End, but the other one.
Oh, Anguish Unmaking.
Yeah, so if they're not playing black, then they're fucked.
I absolutely fucking love Fevered Visions. It's one of those cards we talked about before. There's certain build-around cards, and that's one of my fucking ones I love building around.
And there's a lot of timing tricks you have to do with Kefnet in regard to playing a land out of your hand, attacking, playing a spell, using his ability, and then the Fevered Visions trigger. It's a lot more... There's a higher decision tree to make than you would think to keep those seven cards in hand so you can block an attack. And I didn't add this until later, after I played the deck for a little while. I was like, man, you know what sucks is playing Kefnet and then just like not drawing into anything to get me up to seven and then just waiting and holding on to shit. So I'm running three Cultivator's Caravans, which is the Mana Rock for three mana. Yeah, it's a vehicle, 5/5, crew for three.
Yeah.
So
nice. Good call.
I can play that, and then once I get Kefnet out, I can use Kefnet to
activate that guy. That gives you Mana Rock. It gives you fucking
so good.
A big dude that if you don't have seven to block with Kefnet and all, if you're not trying to be aggressively attacking, you can at least defend yourself with a big old 5/5 booty on that guy. That's a good call.
And I want, you know, I want a lot of mana to work with in the control deck.
Yeah.
So that card just, it would, because I saw somebody else mention like, oh, you know, if a god can't attack or block if the requirements aren't met, you can use them to crew a vehicle. I'm like, well, I don't want to be like attacking. And then I was like, oh yeah, the mana rock guy. Like, yeah, holy fuck, it's been working out perfectly.
Yeah, I imagine so. That's a good idea, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Deck builders unite.
And so in the four drop slot, I have two Dovinbon. I know what you're gonna say, Dovinbon. Who the fuck is playing that guy?
What does that card even do? I guarantee you, barely anybody out there right now can name his abilities. I know I can't. I guarantee you. What's his loyalty start at? What's his mana cost? I think it's four. What's his plus or minuses? What does that asshole even do? I bet you most listeners don't even know.
He just fucking works out for me in this deck. He is.
Well, I'm asking you to actually go through because I don't know what the card does.
He's made for control decks. I play him in Frontier in my other Jeskai control deck. And he just, it's great. So basically, it's a three loyalty planeswalker for two white and a blue. Plus one is until your next turn, up to one target creature gets -3/-0, and its activated abilities can't be activated.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Semi-defensive itself?
Yeah. And, you know, if they throw out like a mana dork or something, it's like, okay, well, he can't attack or he can't produce mana, so fuck you. And then if I just need more cards in hand to activate Kefnet or whatever the case may be, the minus one is you gain two life and draw a card.
Good.
So it's like, you know, not...
Sometimes control can get aggroed out. You can get a little bit of life gains. Always good.
Yeah. And then the minus seven, which I was able to get off actually a couple times pretty
easily.
Oh,
you get
easily.
Off all the time, baby.
Oh, is you get an emblem with your opponents can't untap more than two permanents during their untap step.
Fuck you, Winter Orb. Jesus.
Oh, that is... That is brutal
when
that fucking hits. And then every control deck needs Board Sweeper. So along with four Radiant Flames to flush out the little guys, we got four Fumigates.
Nice.
And the life
gain. Also
gaining
life as well. Yeah.
Life gain is so good. So good. The so life gain. Oh, very good.
I can touch my nipples right now.
And then we have two Jace Unraveler of Secrets. Why is this guy going into the fucking dollar bin at the local fucking game store?
I'm a bigger fan of that card than most people will give it credit for. Like, you have to build around it because it doesn't protect itself. I mean, it can with the balance, but that's not good enough. But that whole scrying one and drawing the card on that plus one, like that, the card is better than people give it credit for in the right build.
So this is what Jace the Living Guild Pack should have been, because you get the scry and you get to draw a card. So once again, I want cards in hand so I can activate Kefnet, or I'm just looking for answers, and I get the scry one so I get to get, you know, whatever out of the way so I can get to the good cards. Minus two, return target creature to its owner's hand. So if need be, a little tempo play, I can do that. And then the minus eight, you get an emblem with whenever an opponent casts his or her first spell each turn, counter that spell.
Rough.
I've been able to emblem that, and that is amazing. And next we have two Cloud Blazers. What? Three blue and a white.
That's a quality value card
for
right there,
for a flying 2/2 enters the battlefield, you gain two life and draw two cards. Just give me all the cards.
Sexy.
All the life. It is great.
I haven't done it yet, but that's one of the decks going into that standard that I wanted to make, or even for Frontier, is a Flicker Wisp-ish deck where you're just bouncing and flickering your fucking dudes for end of the battlefield effects with a Panharmonicon even.
Oh, yeah.
So this guy just, okay, I'm going to play him on the field, and there's multiple cards up there. There's like four or five different like decent cards are now that are able to bounce either yours or other creatures too, and to like sit there and just flicker this guy back is just a fucking sweet thing. I haven't built that deck yet, but that card is a great card. If you don't know Cloud Blazer, it's a quality card.
Yeah, it overperforms for being uncommon, like, you know, in draft, oh, that's cool, you know, it's good, like, but in certain constructed decks, like, it is fucking value city, like in this one. And then rounding out the deck, we have three Combustible Gear Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much just...
I think you've had a hard on for that card since you played in that one deck that you kind of just built quickly for big things, and you like burn the dude for 16 or something. You're like, oh, you don't want me giving those cards? Okay, you're fucked. And you're like, you killed him from being like, what, a couple life, and they had
almost 20 lives,
and you killed him. Like, yeah.
So I mean, in this deck, you want to be drawing cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, Kefnet needs 7. So either they let you draw the cards or they take some damage. And with this deck, I mean, I just named off the 5-drop slot. So there's 4, 6, 8 5-drops, 2 4-drops, and then 3 of the Gear Hulks. So those are 6-drops themselves. So it can hit. You know, it can do some damage. But that's... it's more for the card draw. And
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it's the coin flip scenario. It's
hard to be on the opposite end of that coin flip and go, I don't want you to have 3 cards, but I don't maybe know your deck well enough or what may have you, and I don't want to get fucking burned that much right now.
And it's also a 6-6 with first strike, you know? That clogs up the ground pretty good.
Yeah.
And then so in the sideboard, we have some Authority of the Councils.
Mm-hmm.
That was mostly for the copycat matchup.
Yeah.
Because
come and tapped
and I gain a life. But it's just also a good card.
Yeah.
You know,
quality overround card. It's a very good hate card. The 1-mana enchantment.
And
artifacts and creatures, I believe.
No, it's just creatures.
Just creatures, okay.
Creatures, and then you gain 1 life. And I figure I haven't gone up against any vehicles matchups I've been playing since the set was legal online.
Mm.
And no one's playing fucking vehicles in the tournament practice room. So I put it in there for the copycat, but also for vehicles. So shit comes in tap, so they can't crew things right away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I hope that's going to be good there. Just in case that's not good, I also have Thalia, Heretic,
yep.
Cathar, 3/2 first strike creatures, and non-basic lands your opponents control. Enter the battlefield tapped. Just more tempo, more hate.
Yep.
It's all good.
Slots in the Hate Bear is pretty good. Death and Taxes type of card right there.
And then if your control deck, fuck you, because I have 4 Dispel, the last 2 Negate, and then 4 Disallow in the board. So, yeah, if you're a fucking control deck, good luck. Because it's game 2, I am fucking Counter City.
Was it a 4 of Fear Visions?
3.
3. So from there, I was asked the question of, are you considering Pull from Tomorrow or even Glimmer Genius, even though you're not playing Energy, it's still a instant speed draw card spell. At that point, I would probably play Pull from Tomorrow over that, but what are your thoughts?
Play Pull from Tomorrow as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Glimmer is good, but the ability to go above and beyond.
Of course.
Just for pure card draw value instead of card selection.
Mm-hmm.
This deck cares more about the amount of cards rather than...
Agreed. I would definitely choose Pull from Tomorrow over that, but at this point you don't have that in the list. Is that something you're looking at?
Well, it's fucking expensive as fuck on Modo.
Okay.
I went to look it up.
That's for the reason,
this should be $1, and it is definitely not. It was like 4 fucking tickets or something ridiculous, and I was like, okay, well, I'm not fucking buying that because I'm not... I don't even participate.
Trying to tell you, bro, it's a good card. You should have bought into it beforehand.
Yeah, so... I'm really thinking about joining some of the standard leagues, because I have just a shitload of tickets that, well, I don't anymore, but I sell a lot of shit on here when it spikes, and I'm able to, like, I've been buying a lot of Commander decks, and it's unfortunate because Commander right now is fucked until Hour of Devastation comes out. We might have talked about it last cast.
I don't think we did.
You might have heard.
Did we?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it changed last cast. But you might have heard about it. Basically, Wizards wants to promote 1v1 Commander because it wants to start making 1v1 Commander leagues, and it wants to be a more competitive outlet for those people who care about such stupid things.
And that's all fine and good for those people who want to do that, except they made a fuck-up.
Yeah, they definitely fucked up. And I agree, for people who like it, fuck yeah, that's cool. You know, more options, totally with it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of it, but good for you. But, like you said, this is the two steps back part, I guess.
One step forward, give you more options on how to play. Two steps back, it's fucked up.
It's not really a segment, but, you know...
it really could be easily for almost every cast. So, let's be honest. The amount of things that WotC does that are great and the amount of things that are fucked up, we can literally make at least either per cast or bi-weekly or bi-cast segment about one step forward, two steps back. Like, Jesus Christ. Oh, here we go, here we go.
I mean, I think we need some theme music. That's usually Hot Sauce's department, but let's see what we can
live do. And not coming at you.
One step forward.
two
steps back. What the fuck is WotC doing?
Are they smoking crack?
Yeah!
Perfect. So, yeah, this is one step forward, two steps back. And...
Oh, please save that and add it for whenever we have this segment.
The
live music for the segment line, oh my God, I'm so excited right now.
What they did was they just said, you know, we don't want people to be confused about, you know, EDH, one versus one, or multiplayer. So, you know what? We're just going to have one ban list for both formats, essentially. And anybody who knows anything about these formats, they are very different beasts.
Unless you hear something different than I heard, because you are correct in the sense that the problem is that the whole ban list is all for 1v1, and the changes like that are geared towards 1v1. But from what I understand, that wasn't supposed to be on purpose. Like, they didn't mean to change the ban list for the regular commander. They implemented this new rules, new ban list for 1v1 commander, and however, it fucked up and accidentally changed the regular multi-person commander rules.
Gotcha.
And when people said, hey, what's going on, Wizards, not verbatim response, basically said, well, you're fucked until our devastations. People were asking, well, hey, when are you gonna fix this? They basically said, we're not dealing with it till our devastation comes out.
Right, so
deal with it.
Basically, I mean, from what I heard on my end, I read the article a bunch of times because it was kind of confusing. And they basically said, oh, you know, whether it was a fuck-up or... You know, whether they just didn't want people to be confused about different ban lists. Pretty much, the 1v1 ban list was in effect for all of Commander, not just the 1v1, for multiplayer too. And so things, staples like Soul Ring and fucking anything else
which
you can
think of. Which is in every single fucking Commander in history of Commander decks, except for this new ban list for 1v1. It's in every deck.
Yeah.
So now every person who wants to play Commander has to go change their deck around for a ban list that doesn't adhere to what they're supposed to be playing.
Yeah, so I've had to change a couple cards out of some of my decks. Not like huge changes, but like not Prosh, what the fuck is the wizard, crazy wizard dude?
Zur.
You're welcome. He's banned in 1v1.
That's like your main fucking
I
want to
say
deck.
Prosh for some reason. That's not even close. So he's banned in 1v1. So guess what? That deck I fucking spent money on, I can't fucking play it until our devastation
comes out. One of the
bans
actually hit one of our castmates. Yeah. It's like a fish. Throw that shit in the trash, the digital trash.
So what... they put out that article.
Burn it. Burn it alive.
Burn those fuckers. With all the tops. You know? So they went back and, you know, made an addendum to what they had said.
Another addendum?
Fucking dude, they're up to here with addendums. That's what the fuck. They said...
They should just have the same man. That'd be addendum hour. It's, I'll be fucked up again, but here's the answer.
Hour of addendum.
There we go.
Addendum station.
It is the hour of devastation. That is their segment name. We fucked up. This is what's happening. We're still fucked up.
So basically they said, okay, well, we're going to change it back to where multiplayer commander is going to follow the paper ban list, and the 1v1 commander is going to be, you know, the French rules or whatever... Whatever WotC basically decides is the ban list for 1v1.
That. Maybe that's our difference in conversation here is you said that they did it on purpose, and my understanding was that it was an accident in the actual MTGO. But you're saying that once again, based on what they did and community backlash, which this one I agree with,
that they're going back on what they were planning on doing and saying, hey, sorry we fucked up, stop yelling at us. Oh my God, please don't hurt me. Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
We'll fix it, I promise. Just wait 3 months.
They're in the corner crying in the fetal position, and then they get drunk and they
hold you better. Stop beating me, sir.
So yeah. Yeah, they went back and said, okay, we'll fix it, but it's gonna be like this until Hour of Devastation. And it's like, what fucking monkeys are programming over there at Wizards of the Coast?
We've known Steve for a while now.
So, like, I don't know.
That's a throwback to some old shit from another cast.
Yeah, that was fucking...
heavy meta.
That was a fucking heavy meta reference. Fuck you, Steve. You're fucking up over there. Can't believe you're not fired.
You're all
fired.
Steve's, God damn it.
You better not be in that new standard testing group, you son of a bitch.
Play design group?
Yeah, okay, play design. Fucking Steve. For all the heavy meta fans out there.
Diddle yourself to freedom.
So, yeah, pretty much EDH is going to suck ass for a while. And so cards that are not legal in EDH multiplayer are legal in 1v1. So somebody played like a Sylvan Primordial or whatever that green guy is. Anyways, they flash him in and out and they just like destroy all your shit pretty much. Mm. That was banned a while ago. So, not that
I don't play canon enough to really know which card you're talking about. Usually I'm the one that has like the card names down for you, but I don't know that card.
Yeah, it was back in like Gatecrash or something. But not that a lot of our listeners, well, actually, I don't fucking know what you guys play because you never talk to us. Just pay attention to me. Talk to me.
We love the select few that talk to us. It's always great interacting with you assholes. We see more of you cocksuckers that talk to us. We know more than five of you listen to us, motherfuckers. I mean, even if the last five of you stop listening to us, we still do this cast because it's fun. But fucking talk to us. Jesus Christ. It's a magic community. Open your fucking mouths. We're assholes. Talk shit. Do what you want to do. Call us fags. I don't care.
Yeah, we don't want your money. We just want your stupid opinions on Twitter.
Yeah. I don't care how fucking degraded and dirty and ignorant they are. Just talk shit. We're no better than anybody. Jesus Christ. We're probably worse than a lot of people.
That's easily said. So, yeah, Commander's going to be fucked up for a while. So if you do play Commander on MTGO, and like not a lot of people know about it. People join games and they're like, fucking, this sucks, the fucking changes. And like,
why is my deck illegal? I can't play this game. Why is MTGO fucked up again?
Yeah.
If you're not paying attention closely like we do or give you the information about it, a lot of people don't listen to podcasts or pay attention to Mothership articles. A lot of people probably don't even have any idea why their deck won't work, and they're trying to figure out or having to Google it, like, why can't I play my Commander deck all of a sudden? There's probably a lot of that going on.
I feel like, I mean, obviously WotC's website is not the easiest to traverse.
God, no.
But so it's kind of hard to keep up with like articles. They're not.
Oh, yeah.
And unless you specifically go to the WotC website, you're not going to know these things. So like,
and even then, if you go to the WotC website, you might not be able to direct yourself through it. Like the best chance I ever have of finding an article or finding information I see people talk about is going to like a social media page or Magic and hopefully finding a link that they put to the actual article on their own website. Because if you go to their website, I can't find shit typically.
Yeah, so
like, it's very difficult.
So on the homepage for Magic Online, like when you first start up the program, there's a big thing that says announcements, and in very little letters it says check out mtgo.com for the latest Magic Online news and updates. And like that's it. Like there's no, I don't know. It's just
no ashers. Hey, look here. There's new things. There's important changes. Check out what's going on.
Yeah, it doesn't like stand out to where you.
And that never changes. That little announcement bar right there is always there. It doesn't matter if there's a brand new change. Anytime you go to that main screen, there's always that little link.
Yeah, usually if it changes, it's just talking about like, oh, there's a limited PTQ final event for Hour Devastation.
This is this month's card if you win a tournament or you buy it.
They never even put that on there.
I know.
So
that's another one that...
This announcement...
I used to do the MTGO promos as well, but it's so difficult to navigate the website, I stopped doing it.
Yeah, if they made this announcements section of the program a little bit more in your face, you know, and actually put shit up there that people give a shit about, then people might know these things. But for the most part... I mean, like, even me who had the article, I had to read it a couple times and then go read the addendum article. And, like, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I can't figure out, like, did they ban? Like, is it for real? Like, I don't know. It was very confusing and I was scared.
It was helpful, too, at that point.
like you're showing the new ban list and you're saying that this is what's going to happen for the next 3 months, maybe you put a comparison ban list to what the ban list was and to what it is now. So people can like look at their card and go like, oh, this is what I have to take out, or this is what's legal now, or I don't know, just something to be helpful, to give you a visual, rather than having like know by heart what the ban list was or what cards you had to change on your deck. I don't know, there's a lot of things that can make easier and more user friendly rather than having to like dig for information.
Yeah. It's like I was just building a Marchesa deck online. Marchesa. I don't know. I just feel like I'm going to go on a big MTGO fucking sucks rant. I'll try and keep it short.
Happens on many casts.
But like the trading system is so shitty that it's like such a pain in the ass to get cards for an EDH deck, especially when you're trying to buy like 50 fucking singles.
Yeah.
And
it's like constantly like, you have 30 seconds to like, I'm still looking for a card. You don't have this one. I'm looking for the next one. But my computer's overheating because somehow trading and this basic writing format uses 97% of my computer's function when it's just fucking letters and words. I don't understand how it overheats my computer to do that.
I feel like it's...
I had to buy a fan system and like prop it up on an angle on the side to make sure the bottom's gonna overheat, because every time I try to trade on there, my computer has multiple times until I figured out like, this is incredible. I started looking at the usage on my computer like, why is it spiked from 10% usage to 97 while trading and overheating my computer to freezing out MTGO and having to restart after spending 20 minutes trying to forget all those cards and lose the trade because it overheated and froze. That is frustrating.
Yeah, so there's a website called WikiPrice, and that's MTGOWikiPrice.com. That's where you can type in a card name, and then it shows you what bots have it listed, like at the lowest price, and if you have any credits on that bot, or whatever the case may be. So I go there, I go, oh, you know, I trust this bot, or I have some credit on there, and then I go to that bot, and then like half the time, it won't accept my trade for whatever reason, even though it's not busy, and the trade button is, you know, it's lit up like I could do it, it doesn't do it, and then I finally get on there and like fucking Crow said, like I'm like looking for like cards. Like if I get on one bot, I'm like, okay, this is a little bit more expensive, but you know,
I found it at least. Yeah. I'm not searching again. God damn it. I'll spend the extra fucking 2 tickets.
So like I got like 5-6 cards and all of a sudden I look down in the corner and it's like, you got 30 seconds to complete your trade. And I feel like,
fuck,
it's the movie Speed where like the bomb's about to go off. I'm like, oh God,
fuck, I just keep moving.
Red switch, blue switch. I don't know which one.
Red pill, blue pill. What do I take?
Okay, pop quiz, hot shot, fucking Linvala or fucking
Utah. Give me two. Different movie.
Yeah, it's okay. I accept it.
Vaya con Dios.
So that's like super frustrating. A easy fix. Okay, I don't know about easy. I mean, this seems simple enough to me. Is anybody who's ever played World of Warcraft, the auction house is like so easy to buy items on there. You just type in the name, and then it shows you all the people who are selling it, and you fucking hit buy or fucking whatever it is, and it doesn't take... So in World of Warcraft, the denominations of currency are gold, silver, and copper. So it's not like, oh, this thing is 1 gold, 50 silver, so I have to give that person 2 gold, and then they have 50 silver left over and I can only spend it on there. No, that's fucking stupid for a game. Why would you ever do that? So the whole ticket system needs to be broken down into points.
Yeah, why is that? What made them choose to say you have to keep your tickets with this trader? Like, it is digital numbers. Why can't your bank be in your set? Like, why can't your memory and your computer keep what tickets and bank you have? Why does some other random bot have to have my information and my tickets they're holding on to? Why do they make a system like that? What currency exchange in ever makes it so they hold on to your money and you like have to go back to them to spend it? Like, what? I don't... why?
Yeah, it's plagued me ever since I started playing this game. And so let's click on MTGO. Let's go to trade.
Is your computer hot?
It's
not about to be.
Okay, it only took like 5 seconds for it to fucking switch over. So on the left-hand side, it says previous trade partners. And it will tell you all the bots that you've traded with in the history of your trade. I download the beta.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever a new set comes out or right before, they release a beta.
Yeah.
And then so I have to uninstall this version, and then I have to go install the beta. And then once the beta's over, I have to uninstall the beta, go back and install the regular version.
Guess what?
All the history of my previous trade partners...
Gone.
So I don't know what fucking bots I have credit on.
You just try to remember names, but you use much more trading than I do. So you like you go through wiki, like you said, the wiki things, and you find your own bots, and you find the lower prices and do things like that. But you're not going to remember the names of those bots you use and not specifically look for them again. Like myself, I try to stick with the couple bots I go to because I can, even when I do that, because I have the beta as well, and I lose the history, I try to go, okay, I remember I used this bot before, so I can go back there and see, I think I have credit still. Otherwise, your credit's just gone unless you remember them, right?
Yeah, so pretty much. And if you fall into this category, wiki price, fuck, I just want to suck these guys' dick. Like, this fucking website...
I mean, it is one of your favorite pastimes.
Has... Well, I did go see Backstreet Boys. And I went backstage...
Had your dick out.
And... Yeah, I had my dick out.
It was an accident, yeah. I swear.
I'm, like, yanking on it. Fucking break! But, I forget which website runs this site. It's, like, from a MTGO library? I don't know. So anyways, this gives you the break that you put in your username, and then it tells you which bots you have currency on, and there's actually a button where you can straight up just request a trade. So instead of going into Modo and then typing it in, you can just, from this website, if you have Modo open, click on the fucking bot, and then go up and hit request trade from so-and-so.
That's pretty sweet.
Amazing.
Taking a system that's broken and helping players out, like, that's pretty good of them.
Yeah, so good on ya, MTGO, Wiki Price. You guys are the best. And I forget the other stuff I was going to bitch about.
I have used them because of you talking about it before, by the way.
Yeah, super convenient.
Before, I would just, like, randomly click on a bot and hope, like, I go search for my cards and this and that.
Yeah.
I started using them to help out that little bit. And I try to, like, still find the bots I traded with because my fucking currency left over from tickets with them. I try to make sure I don't leave more than 0.02 cents at a bot because...
Yeah.
I mean, like, it just sucks. So there's, why lose on tickets? So I try to use the same ones, even if the price is a little off, but I have used that to go through times, you know, because of your suggestions. It is very helpful.
Well, sometimes it is nice to just have, like, you know, 0.5 ticket on a bot because I spend all my tickets, and then I'm, like, adjusting a deck. I'm like, fuck, I need this, like, fucking common from, like, 10 sets ago. And I'm like, oh, it's, like, fucking 2 cents. Oh, I'll just go to whatever bot I have 50 cents on. But still...
But.
It's
if
like,
you forget that bot, your history's gone from the beta, you know, reinstallation.
Well,
like,
that's where Wiki Price comes in and tells you that you have currency
but
in that bot.
A lot of people don't know about that. I wouldn't know about that unless you. The only reason I know about it is you told me about it.
Yeah, and I think I heard it on the A team. So good on you for that. Anyways, that's about it for this episode of If Lands Could Kill. We got some shit going down. It's going to be rolling out here in the very near future. So just keep your eyes posted. If you follow us on Twitter, which you should, because we're kind of fucking hilarious. But also, you get to see some...
Dick pics?
Well, I've kind of calmed down on the dick pics.
Well, I mean, I can still put your dick on there. Like, I still have your bathroom dick pic, okay? I can find the Eldrazi winter dick pic, or bald.
I don't think I ever sent the hot dog one to you, but...
No, but I could probably find that on Snapchat, or whatever it was. Imagery, where the fuck you've had it on. Dicks of the day. Dick slits of the week. You know what it was?
Slit of the week.
Slit of the week. Slit of the week! Look for the hot dog pic. You'll see nice dick.
So, anyways, yeah, follow us on Twitter for all that fun stuff. We got some things in the works. Hopefully we're going to be unveiling them soon, and it should be exciting. So that's been it for episode 110 of If Lands Could Kill. I'm Knife City.
So and Crow.
And we'll check you guys later.